doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people. That caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me.
I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did not.
Howard Lutnick was
using
money.
If you have an email with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about it.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White, and she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. Okay. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know. What they have, we don't know if the videotapes that were in these storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway. Way, we're finding out now, may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars, while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded, and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal Third Hour of the program. It is I, Brianna Morello. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Thank you to Matt Tardio for holding down the fort for the last 2 hours. It was quite the extensive drive after spending the night over at Ken Paxton's party last night. Many of you guys probably saw, he is now in a runoff with John Cornyn, the Rhino, who has obviously been holding down that Senate seat that we were going to pry away from his hands. So it was quite the adventure, but it was interesting being in Dallas because, well, I happened to see a friend of mine. He's come in from across the pond, and joining me now to discuss is Tommy Robinson in studio. Tommy, welcome to Texas.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. It's been quite the adventure so far. For our audience, you know, we had Matt Tardio filling in for me yesterday, or for, I guess you say, the last 2 hours. And, you and I made the venture last night. We were with Ken Paxton. You had the honor of meeting Ken Paxton yesterday, election night for the primaries, at least. He is now in a runoff with John Cornyn, who we call a rhino over here. He's just a Republican by name at this point. He is not a, actual Republican. He doesn't represent conservative values. And, you know, Ken's looking to replace him. You were able to briefly speak with Ken. What was that like yesterday?
I'd looked up Ken, and I'd seen that he'd stood by Donald Trump, and he didn't just stand by Donald Trump, but he used his ability as an attorney general with his legal history to attempt to highlight, which was a rarity at the time. Remember, when that election was stolen, how many people actually stood up? How many people within the Republican Party stood up? He stood up, so I know he's a man of loyally to Donald Trump. I know he's a man of truth. So, and then I looked at what he faced, and he seemed to have faced relentless court attempts, attempts to impeach, attempts to discredit, all of which he seems to have come through. I saw that his campaign, he spent $4 million, and his opposition spent $100 million. And I think that it seems to be, well, I've come to America asking questions about the Islamization. I'm very shocked at how upfront and how honest the Muslims are in America about their intentions. Because they were more quiet when they first come to UK. You've only got 1%. They say we've got 6%. We've probably got at least 10%, yeah? But they were more quiet. But they don't seem to be doing that here. I looked at Epic City before I'd come. So I come to Texas. Obviously, we think of Texas and we think cowboys. We think steak. We think we've got all this vision of barbecues. And I come to Texas and ended up in, is it Plano?
Yes, Plano, Texas.
Ended up in Plano and thought I was in Baghdad. Yeah, I just thought I was back home in Luton. So the problems that are here, and then I looked at Texas, 330 mosques, up from nearly 200 in 5 years. I'm just not sure America understands what's happening and how big this is going to go.
Yeah.
And how much of a issue this is going to be for the future of the United States. Britain's gone. Many areas are never coming back. And Germany and France and Sweden and the crime statistics and the problems that are being imported in. So to Americans, it's like you had immigration from Hispanic nations, and there was a lot of noise made about it, which I understand. Mm. But you have no idea what Joe Biden's just done.
Yeah.
You've got no idea what he's done. You have no idea what's coming. When he opens your borders to 10 million at least of Eritreans, of Pakistanis, Somalians, Iraqis, Syrians, it's an alien culture and it's a hostile, violent community that have been imported into your nation. And I went to see the mosque this huge
epic, yeah,
epic mosque. Not that they want to build one bigger, but the, yeah, this in Texas. And then as I was there, I approached the mosque and I was told by a Muslim, I thought he looked like a police officer. Come out. He had his firearm. He come out. What are you doing here? I just said, just here to ask some questions. Here to have a look. Can I speak to Imam? Imam's not here. Car park's half full. The Imam's not there. I said, where's the Imam? Is anyone here? I can ask a couple of questions. You need to leave this land. So I've just been over to a church because I've just been to the church. No one's asked me. I haven't had anyone coming out to me in this way. I haven't had anyone tell me I can't film. I haven't had anyone telling me I have to leave this private property. What's the problem? What's the issue? So then I left because they asked me to leave. And then I went to there's two roads either side of this mosque, which is Medina Villas. So the road's called Medina Villas. And obviously to anyone who's looked into this, which I guess a lot of your viewers have,
they
wanted to build this new city, which is an enclave. And in this enclave, they wish to name the roads after Islamic conquerors.
Yeah.
Not after peacemakers, not after reformists, but Islamic conquerors. So for me to see this is the start. And what I've met influencers, I've met YouTubers, I've met politicians. I wanted to meet everyday Americans. I've had quite a few reach out to me. So I had a lovely couple, a lady called Abby and her husband, who reached out to me. They're based in Dallas, and she talked to me about some of the problems. So I went to meet her. I went to meet her yesterday, and her grandmother had lived in Plano. Her mother had lived in Plano. She'd lived in Plano, and now she's had to flee, and she breaks down crying. So the video we're working on now, she breaks down and she's crying her eyes out and she's emotional. She was harassed by a Muslim migrant. She said that as the houses were coming for sale within the area, obviously it's all Muslim migrant, all Muslims coming in and buying them. But then she was intimidated at her own home by one of these men continually every day. And in the end, she made the decision that she just had to leave. Now that, what you're witnessing there, I've seen this. I'm from Luton Town, yeah? Now it starts off, she said that they knock on the neighbour's doors, and this is what they do. They'll knock on the door, we want to buy your house. Say the house is worth 400, we'll give you 500.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually quite nice of them. Because where I'm from, they just smash your house up. Until you're in a position where you just need to get out of there. And anyone can watch my presentation. I give a presentation to Oxford University at the Oxford Union where I showed 67 attacks against old age pensioners houses, British old age pensioners houses, smashed up, obliterated. One of the couples, 88 years old, they don't even bother repairing their windows. Because if they repair their windows, they just get smashed again. So they live in a boarded up home. And the reason for that is that the Muslim community want them gone because they're creating this enclave. Now they put in plans for their own one here. And then we see what is called white flight, which is what this lady and her husband have done, is they flee and they move to another area. And then you have an entire ghetto area, an entire enclave. I went into the shops. You know there's a load of new shops?
Yeah.
I went into the shops and there's a whole row of these shops. It's next to a church. So warning, that's not going to be a church for long.
Yeah.
A few years, that's a mosque. Yeah, 100%. Okay, this is which I've seen, and to the rest of the United States, to the rest of Texas, this is a blueprint. My hometown was a blueprint. I started talking about what happened in my town 15, 20 years ago, and everyone hated me. And now they see it, because everything I said is now in their town.
Yeah.
So you might think it's not in your town today. It's coming. And they're preparing for the future with the mosque applications, with the money, the Qatari money, the Iranian money, the Saudi money that's all flooding in. It doesn't teach integration or assimilation.
Yeah.
It's domination.
Yeah.
You need to really get your heads around it and understand this difference and understand what's now here. And then I went into the shops and I just said, they're all nice, beautiful, brand new shops, but they're not for you, Texans. They're not for you, Christians. So there's not going to be anywhere for you to shop unless you shop in their shops. And when you go in their shops, as I went in yesterday, I said, is there anything non-halal in here? No. What do I do then? If I live around that corner and I want to buy something, where am I buying from? So I went into the lady shop. If you're a lady in that area, okay, it's all burqas. It's all Islamic garb. Went to the next shop, again, it's all Islamic. I went to the next shop, it's all Islamic. Now that, I know you don't see it, but I don't know if you understand. And this lady gave a very good representation, so I'm looking forward to getting her video out so Americans can listen to her. You don't need to listen to me now. Yeah? I thought I'd be coming here giving you a warning saying, America, look, I've seen what's happened. First place I've been where I reached out to the American public, they're telling me the same story. The identical story to what I've seen in my hometown. Now, all the problems I've seen, like these rape gangs, they're here. Trust me. They're here. Wherever there's Islamic community, they're raping. And they're taking, they're kidnapping. And again, I can sit here and spew the statistics because some people don't like them. Even if you look at, so as Americans, how many did Joe Biden look in? You tell me how many.
They will report to us about 11 million. So I usually say double it.
So if you say double it, just say it's 11. So let's say it's 11. Yeah. Germany let in 1 million. So Germany lets in 1 million, you've let in 11 million. Germany let in 1 million Syrians. Now, out of those Syrians, when they let them in, at 2015, 16, look at the rape figures from 2017 to 2022 in Germany. Rapes went up 45%. Yeah? 45%. 56 or might be 58, might be wrong, it's 56 or 58% of the rapes last year in Germany were by Muslim migrants. Yeah, they only make up about 10% of the population. Mm-hmm. So is it a price worth paying to open your borders? You've had 10 million come in. Yeah, Germany let 1 million in. I've told you the rape statistics there. Sweden, let's look at Sweden. 63% of the rapes last year, Muslim migrants. 63%. Now, this is 63% of rapes that just didn't have to happen because Muslim migrants shouldn't be there. The same in Germany. If we look in the UK, 90% of the convictions for rape, groups of men that rape children, are Muslim men. 30% are called Muhammad. 90% from a 3% population, because that's all Muslim men make up in the UK. 77% of the rapes last year in Paris were Muslim migrants. 77%. So all of these problems and these rapes, it didn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. I understand you're a nation of immigrants. You open your borders, you let people in who are skilled, who come to assimilate, immigrate and benefit. Well, that's not what you've done. That's not what Joe Biden's done. Now, if you look at Minnesota, if you look at the Somali community, well, how are they benefiting the United States of America? We can look, and there's studies now, so no one can claim they didn't know. There's so many studies. Denmark done a study looking at the migrants that come in. You can find this study. And then not just looking at the migrants, but looking at the second generation and the third generation. Nothing changes. They all remain reliant on the state. They don't work. Criminal activity, like Afghans, 22 times more likely to be involved in a sexual assault. When it comes to criminal activity, rape statistics in the UK from 2003 to 2000, I have to tell you these statistics because you have to look. 2003 to 2023, our rape stats went from 8,800 to 88,000 rapes. Sweden from 1975, there was 365 rapes. Last year was 32,000. Like, do you know how many rapes there were last year? So we had 88,000. Do you know how many there were in Poland? Less than 500. Mm-hmm. In Hungary? I think 650. So these are the questions you need to ask yourself. And then you need to look at your politicians and ask, that's why Ken Paxton. You need to look at your politicians and ask, who's brave enough to have this discussion?
Yeah.
Because it's a discussion you're going to have. Who's brave enough to actually stand up and speak truth to power on this subject? Not be worried, not be coward, not be scared of being called an Islamophobe, because that's what disabled an entire nation of British men. An entire nation was disabled through the fear and paralyzed through the fear and worry of being called racist, extremist, all these things. People were worried about losing their job. It's like an invading army have come into a country, raped their way through it, whilst everyone just, I've got my job. Oh, don't want to be called a racist, do I? It's the biggest, it's the darkest stain on British history, these rapes. But I see, in America, that's why Ken Paxton, if you look at what he spoke about previously, if you look at what he's trying to do, and it's far, and when I spoke to him last night, unless you have a coordinated effort from one end of the United States to the other, so you can have a brave gentleman like Ken Paxton, you can have some brave politicians in Texas, or you can have brave politicians in Florida. I've met a few, yeah, since I've been here, congressmen. You've got a caucus now of, I think, over 42 congressmen. If your congressman is not part of the caucus against Sharia, then you need to contact them and ask them why they're not.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What 95% I think last night of Texans asked want to ban Sharia? Now that is an overwhelming majority clearly from people voting in the primaries, but what that should do is give courage to all other Republicans to realize this is a hot topic that the public feel very passionately and very strongly about. I'd say yesterday was a bit of a referendum. I don't know everything, so I'm not aware of every point of your politics, but from the outside in, when I look at the 95%, when I look at Ken Paxton with 4 million, him with 100 million, and they're neck at neck, if it was a fair balanced fight in funding, well, Ken Paxton would have smashed it, yeah? He had the other gentleman, who's a rhino.
John Cuarno.
Yeah. Had, and you have to understand, you have to look at these people as traitors now. That's how you have to look at them.
Yeah.
They're traitors. Because they might start trying to ride the wave as they see people talking about this issue. But they're selling you out. They're absolutely selling out Texas. You're at a crossroads, America. You either go down the same path as Western Europe, or you follow the path of Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe has remained safe. It's remained with their laws because they protected their borders and they refused to allow mass immigration of migrants into their country. Now, people might want to call you names like they do Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But your women won't be getting raped and pillaged like the rest of Europe's. And you know, if we add even just the basic things, like I see when Donald Trump done his Muslim ban, they called it a Muslim ban. It wasn't a Muslim ban. When he done his ban in 2016, there was a hell of a lot of critique from aimed at him from our country, from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
If our country would have had that ban, Salman Abedi, who could recite the Quran without looking at it, whose father was a terrorist, he flew to Libya from the city of Manchester, which is our northern capital of England, really. It's our London, but up the north. He flew to Libya. He got weapons training, bomb training, and he come back and blew up 26 kids at the Ariana Grande concert. 26 dead. He wouldn't have been able to do that if we had that simple ban. So, but they're not bothered about 26 kids dying because they don't want to be deemed as some sort of racist. And 280 more civilians, not military, not police, not anything, civilians would be alive in Europe if we simply just had the ban that Donald Trump put in. So when Donald Trump makes these decisions, some people may get upset because many people just want to be loving and be nice to everyone. You can't be. You can't be nice to people who want to kill you. You can't take the risk. Some of them might be nice. Yeah, well, some of them ain't going to be. Some of them are going to kill you. So if we had an ICE, we need an ICE. Europe needs it. But you see, if we had an ICE now, just so you understand where Europe's at, if we had any sort of organisation like that who are rounding up the illegals, which they need to do, the whole of Europe will burn. Trust me. The minute a political party gets into power in a European nation that tries to implement the law against the Islamic community, they're going to burn. They're going to burn Europe. That's it. And that is what everyone is so scared of. That's why you've just seen with Keir Starmer has betrayed America. He's betrayed, and it's embarrassing for us.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing as a British citizen to see such weak, coward leadership. I mean, you can't even use the word leader in that sentence, can you? But Macron, now these two nations, just look at Britain and look at France. Recognise the Palestinian state during the conflict with Israel because they're cucking to the Muslim community who are hostile and aggressive and violent and they need them for their votes. And right now didn't side with the United States to take out one of the most Islamic mullah regimes and supremacist mindsets in the world who fund every terrorist organisation. They didn't stand with America. Now, whether you agree with the conflict or not, America's our allies. They've gone to war, yeah? You've got a decision to make. Do we stand with America or do we stand by and let this happen? And if by letting it happen, you put America in a worse position, you put freedom in a worse position, so you give less of a chance of the quicker victory. So there was a decision to be made. And our politicians made a decision to stand with the mullahs. That's how I see it.
I want to play this clip because you posted this on X, clip 7, because this is Keir Starmer specifically talking to, I believe it looks like it's in a mosque or maybe an Islamic center, but he's talking to these Muslims and bragging about not being involved in Iran. Take a listen.
But on Iran, I want to make clear the UK was not involved in the offensive strikes of the US and Israel. And that remains the case.
Bragging about it there. Now, the vast majority of Americans don't support what's going on right now between the United States and Iran and also jumping on board with Israel and all of this. We talked to our audience, we were taking calls all day, and that was the majority of them. But I just want to get to the point that he's trying to make, because it's not even, for me, I just kind of step away from it. I'm watching Keir Starmer go out there and coddle these Muslims, and I think it's out of fear. I think he fears these people, and that's the reason why he was you know, speaking to them and saying, listen, we had no part in this, because he's afraid that they might retaliate against him.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of Americans knew what it was like to live with vast majority of Islamic communities. They'd understand what Trump's doing. That's what I think. I know that might not go down too well with an audience, but I don't think people understand the hatred, the venom, and what the Iranian regime represents, whether it be death to America. They're promoting death to America. They're promoting anti-Western values around the globe. They're funding every terrorist attack. I think we had 12 Iranian-funded plots against our nation stopped. Mm-hmm. They've funded wars against American, killing American troops, attacking American ships, embarrassing, humiliating the American Navy, took billions of pounds off Barack Obama. The whole same axis of evil that's coming from Barack Obama, when Barack Obama's false governments were in bed with Iran. Iran despise you. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, if they do, and don't think of this logically, because they're not logical. They're jihadists. They are absolute jihadists. So if they could have a, people think, well, they wouldn't fire a nuclear weapon at us because we'd fire one back and we'd blow their whole nation up. Yeah, they don't give a shit. Yeah, they'd be quite happy with that because they're going up there in their mindset. That's where they're going. So I've been surrounded my whole life by this jihadist mindset. And I understand that the money that's coming from there funds the Muslim Brotherhood, funds all these organizations which are intent on the Islamization of our nation, in changing the demographic of our nation, of all of these things. So I despise Iran. I also look, and Iran is not Afghanistan. It's just not. 99% of Afghanis want Sharia law. You take out the Taliban, they're coming back. They're coming back because that's the law of the land. They want it. They want Sharia. Same with Iraq. They want it. They want the slavery. They don't want the freedom. Persian people, since the Islamic Revolution, have had a boot on their neck. They're not Muslim. It's like, say, for example, in Britain, it's like the mullahs taking over Britain now, yeah? Because they were a free, loving West, free supporting, free speech, democracy. That's what that nation was. The people have a rich identity and culture in who they are. And it's not Islamic. So they've been forced, the women, you just have to meet any Iranians in your country and speak to them. I know many Iranians in the UK, they've fled the Islamic Revolution. I know millions and millions and millions that have fled. Now, that have fled to different nations for safety, to get away from the slavery. And so I think when people think about there's going to be this big conflict on the streets there, no one knows what's going to happen, but I think that with the revolution and with the Ayatollahs being taken out, you'll end up with a pro-Western, a pro-freedom, an American-loving nation. Donald Trump's going to be he's going to go down for the next hundreds of years as a hero to that nation, as our America. Now, for the next 100 years, that nation was working to create a nuclear bomb to get rid of America and get rid of Britain. And they hate us. And if you look at Christian populations, just look at the Christians. How are the Christians getting on in Iran? What's the Christian population in Syria? What's it gone from and what's it gone to? It's still, 0.2% now, is it? Iraq, they're all gone. They're all massacred. So I hear so many people talking about other issues, but I think, well, what's happened to the Christians in the Middle East? Why have they been literally genocided across the Middle East? It's because of the groups that these bastards fund. It's because of the idea that they fund. It's because of their mindset. So I'm in the UK. I'm surrounded by them. I know how they think. They hate us. Yeah, they hate us. So I know many people who are not from towns and cities see this faraway conflict. For many people, it's far away. For me, it's not far away. It's in my country. They're in my country. They're working against our country. They're working against our values. And,
Yeah. No, it's devastating to see. And we're going to dive into this as well. I want to talk more about what's happening here in Texas, because obviously that's something that we're seeing firsthand play out. We just saw a terror attack also play out just a few days ago, sadly, here in Austin. So we'll go over that in a moment, Tommy, and I look forward to talking about that, though. Folks, I just want to point your attention right now over to the alexjonesstore.com. We have the Mega March sale going on right now. This launched yesterday. It is an incredible sale. It is 30 to 40% off most of the supplements right now at the alexjonesstore.com. And, of course, it's for a limited time while supplies last. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. So many of your favorite supplements are on sale right now. And, for Tommy and I, we'll do this in a second. I'm exhausted, so we're going to take some vitamins to give us some energy boost in a moment.
I asked for a double espresso.
That's what we handed
you. I got this. So I was vaccine off my tits, and it's a...
It's going to work. You have energy when you go talk to Alex in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to need it.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And They're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at theoxygenstore.com.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
This is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I got to tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Waking up America, one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Well, welcome back to the American Journal. We're glad you're joining us, of course. We're glad my buddy Tommy Robinson is here in studio. Now, listen, we had a crazy night last night. Not so much in the way of, like, raging, partying, drinking, but we were up kind of late last night. I know you came into Texas yesterday, Tommy. So I could definitely use, like, a little bit of a boost. So I'm going to do that. And I want you to try this. This is our methylene blue. This is actually one of our more popular items over at the shop right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So you literally just take the dropper, toss in a couple of drops of it.
A couple of drops, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's by far one of my favorite things to do every morning.
As I said, I asked for a double espresso. I'm now injecting blue stuff into my glass of water.
Yes, you are.
I left at half four. Where did I fly from yesterday? Somewhere in Florida. So half four in the morning, we left.
You were up north in Florida, yeah.
North in Florida, half four in the morning. I got to bed last night at half one. We met up this morning at six. I've done that sort of schedule for about 2 weeks since
yeah,
I've been.
Yeah, and we drove to Dallas.
How many trips?
Just keep going. All right, that's good. It's kind of cool though, right?
Well, this?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you in about 10 minutes. How quickly is this going
to
work?
I think give it a couple minutes. Okay. All right, let's cheers to that. I think you're really going to like this one.
So just explain to me so I know what I'm actually putting in. Not that I really care, but what does it do?
It's going to get rid of your brain fog, which I could tell you have a lot of. Yeah. It's also going to give you an energy boost as well. It's one of my favorite things in the morning to do. I actually don't really do caffeine anymore. Every now and then a sugar-free Red Bull. But
I just do double espressos. I don't like them. I'm running on nothing in a minute.
Well, we've got to get you... This is going to help you significantly. You'll feel it. When you go over to Alex's show, you're going to feel it. And he'll ask you for an update live on air. But also, we have these energy shots, too. There's actually some in Alex's studio as well. And it doesn't taste that bad.
after thing?
Yeah. And now, your tongue is blue now.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when I started the English Defence League?
Yeah.
There's a drink in the UK called Blue WKD. I was a bit of a bitch. I don't like alcohol, yeah? So I don't like beer. Yeah. I don't like alcohol. Yeah. I don't like tasting any of it. So I used to drink these sugary girls' drinks, Blue WKD.
Uh-huh.
I was only, 24 was I, but from when I was 18, 24. Now I'd drink them, and it'd give me a blue tongue.
Yeah.
So I started the English Defence League, and I started getting photographed everywhere. Mm. And every photograph of me had a blue tongue, so I just had to stop drinking them. And my teeth, look, they're blue.
Well, listen, you could tell them you got methylene blue now. We'll send you back some.
I'll keep drinking Blue WKD.
This is what you're going to need.
Okay.
You'll feel it. I'm telling you. It's great. Everyone loves it when they come into the studio. This is what I...
I'm nicking this.
Right? I make everyone... Yeah, we'll give it to you. We'll give you some to take home with you. But I want to dive back into the conversation because I think also... Oh, I'm going to give you that energy shot too. We'll give you a couple of those.
What energy? One energy, so what are these shot? Because I've done some of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me see which ones you have. I don't know which ones they gave you. See, Tommy, when he came in, by the way, it was about a 3.5-hour car ride up from Dallas to Austin. And on your way in, you asked for, obviously, espresso, and we handed you this. So they gave you brain focus. Again, this is going to help you with the brain fog and give you a nice little energy boost. It's all natural, and it's actually one of the top supplements that we have at the shop right now, so that's a great one, too. And then you've also got the powder. I don't think we gave you the powder yet to try, but let's keep it simple for you right now. Let's keep you to the methylene blue. Let's keep you to the brain focus. And then I also want to give you the energy shot later, too. That's over at Alex's studio. We got a bunch of those. I'll give you one to try, and it's my favorite. It's the energy shot. No caffeine. Again, you're going to be amazed by this. There's no caffeine. It doesn't give you any jitters. It's literally energy with just a natural boost of energy that lasts all day long. And I do this every single day to start off my day. And it's by far one of my favorite ones. We just launched those recently over at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, folks, it is the March mega sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite items right now at the shop. So definitely check that out. But, you know, Tommy, I kind of want to dive back into the topic because you and I were going back and forth with all of this. You know, you talked about Texas and what you saw firsthand here in Texas. We've talked about what's happened to me in Texas since I got here. I mean, I used to come to Dallas. I've been coming to Dallas for like 10 years now, and I didn't realize how bad it got, but it got really bad over these last 3 years in Dallas, where it's been taken over by those who have gotten H-1B visas, a massive Indian population has moved in, and then it's also been Muslims, and it's kind of different from what I'm used to, and I'm trying to maneuver around the community, and it's not the same that it used to be, and it's really upsetting, but a lot of people don't realize that there is a massive Muslim population right now in Texas because they're building up these Muslim compounds like you just described. It's these mini Islamic cities. They're not mega mosques, too. I think a lot of people say mega mosques when they describe it. That's not the case. These are mini cities where we won't compounds. Know who's living there. Yeah, because they have all these shops like you detailed. You walked in. There's a restaurant, a supermarket. They have all of the necessities on this property, so they don't ever have to leave. And, you know, Amy Mech is constantly saying, you guys, people are going to be born on these properties, and you're never going to know about it. They don't actually have to tell the government about it because they have everything they need in these cities. And that's exactly what they're doing in Epic. They're trying to build it up. They're even trying to change the name. They went from Epic to the Meadow because they got a lot of pushback.
Epic's quite nice. Doesn't sound Islamic. They'll change the names of those.
That's what they did. Meadows.
Once they get through, yeah. Once that becomes a town, that will be something like Mashala City.
Yeah, but they don't welcome. And you went there. They didn't welcome you. I know so many have gone through. There's a lot of top-notch security, in fact. Some people have reported to me that they actually had their license plates ran before they even make their way into
Epic. We got followed. So a car followed us out. We then went driving around the little neighborhood. The car was following us everywhere.
See, this is the problem, though. And this is the main issue here. And there's allegations, because we've seen Ed Drain, who is the police chief in Plano. We've seen him speak at the mosque. He is very clear. He's very detailed as to his siding is always with them. Now, I've sent you the video before we even knew who the suspect was. I told you that a man had followed me into my apartment complex, and this was in Plano, Texas at the time. He had followed me into my building. I didn't know who he was. I told him repeatedly to get out, and the only reason why he left after following me up my stairwell was when I pulled a gun on him. I went to the police and tried to report it to the police. The police wouldn't show me the footage. The police, in fact, at first didn't even look at the footage, even though I had an FBI letter saying that I was someone who was being harassed, these pedophile groups were going after me, sending me death threats. They didn't care. They looked away when they realized that their police, because I described him as a man who was Middle Eastern. I didn't know what his religious background. I just said he's someone who's Middle Eastern. He had an accent.
He'd be lying about his religious background anyway. He's probably saying he's a Christian so he can have refugee status.
Yeah, well, that's one of the many things that I am calling into question here with this man.
They all do.
It wasn't until... this is when he runs out. Yeah, this is when he runs out because he saw my gun. So when I turned to the police, Ed Drain's police department, they instead referred to this in the police report as a flirting incident. Now, obviously, that's not a flirting incident, but the reason why I'm talking about this...
It's pretty shit at flirting, isn't it? You don't chase a bird up the stairs to flirt with her.
No, you don't. In her
when she's
apartment.
Had no conversation, no word, don't know her. It's not a flirting incident. That's like sort of a harassment.
And he followed me for quite some distance. Now, he's officially been arrested because the Collin County DA's office has officially filed charges against him for trespassing. But it only happened after I pushed back. But this is my point here, is Plano PD, who runs, obviously works with Epic, it's the same police department that refused to respond to me, refused to help me out. Okay. But this happening all across the state. There was a woman who saw the video of what happened to me. She also walked into Plano Police Department and said, hey, listen, I have footage of this guy too. The same guy that I think is in this footage, she alleges that this happened to her. She tries showing them the footage. And they said, ma'am, you live in Frisco. You got to go to Frisco police. And they shoot her away, didn't take down her information or anything. This is what's going on right now in Plano, Texas.
Get used to it.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen if we allow it.
Just get used to it. Okay. Yeah. The police aren't there for you. The police, everyone will succumb to them. Because what the police will weigh up, and I'll give you examples in the UK, for example, yeah? In the UK, we held there was a mass plan for one of these compound centres, and it was in a little town called Dudley, and it was massive, what they were buying. It was huge, the complex, for a mosque, Sharia court, school, everything was inside these massive walls. So they're planning it, and it was a derelict building at the time, an old manufacturing factory. So we got someone up onto the roof of it in the middle of the night to play a call of prayer. So we played the call of prayer out as it's bellowing out, just to let the community know, well, this is what's coming. This is what you're going to have. Yeah. So just get used to it. Started bawling out. Muslims come out, rioted everywhere. They come out in the middle of the night and it's all kicking off. Lads are up on the roof, waving the flags and then playing the call to prayer. This is probably 2011, 2012. Muslims come out, then they're fighting against the police, they're riding against the police. Now, when we got home, we read on a far-left website, because you have to understand that the far-left will align with these groups. They'll all work together for the destruction of the United States of America. You're seeing it now. You've seen it in your universities. You've seen it in your college campuses. You've seen it in New York. You've seen it. You've all seen it. Okay, you can see it now. You don't have to listen to us. It's happening here. It's in America. So as they're doing this, a Muslim attacks, and we read... attacks a police officer with a brick, smash him in the head. So then we read that the imam went with a group of 200 Muslims to the police station to demand they release the man without charge. And we read that he was released. And to me, I'm thinking, well, that's impossible. Yeah. That hasn't happened. You can't attack a copper. So then I was leader of the English Defence League, which was a street protest movement. We used to protest issues around Islam. Mm-hmm. I've gone to a meeting because we used to have meetings with gold commanders, steel commanders from each police force. So when we're coming to a city, we sit down and negotiate what we want in demonstrations, in where we're going and what's legal. So I went to the next meeting with the Midlands, the Birmingham Police Force. We used to call it their West Midlands Police Force. We used to call them West Muslim Police Force because that's what they end up becoming. Yeah. So we sat down with the police and we said, I read something online, lads. I read that after what happened in Dudley, that the imam come to the police station and you guys freed the man. And they all looked and I could tell straight away, I went, oh my God. You let him go. Why would you let him go? And then they said, Tommy, we're faced with a situation. We have one charge for one criminal offence, or we have the potential of riots here that may start here, but they'll spread to every other Islamic community. So we have to weigh it up. I said, who controls the streets of this city? It's not you, is it? It's the imam. The imam's come down and told you what to do. Yeah. You've done it. And that's what you're going to see here. And it's not just, remember, the hierarchy of police forces in the UK, they're politicians. They're put into positions and it's the police force become politicized. And then you have a Labour Party, a Democrat Party, whichever party, because unfortunately for you guys, and for us, the Republicans and the Democrats at certain levels will become succumb to them. When you look at the funding that's coming into some of your politicians here, your Republicans, what, 13 million is it from a Pakistani? Yeah. So they buy their way in. So that someone can afford £100 million in funding. And it's like when you look at the money that's needed for these campaigns, Islam will bring the money in. Saudi, Qatar, this money will flow into the country to influence your politicians. And then they can swing the votes. Because you see, if they build that compound and there's 10,000 or 20,000 live with it, once they create an enclave and you've got 20,000 or 30,000, for example, my hometown, there's 50,000. So we have 45 mosques. When I was born, we had one. Now we have 45. The leader of the council of mosques, this is where they all come together, will sit down with the council and say, this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want, and we'll give you 50,000 votes. Now your church priest might tell you to vote for, but people vote different ways. When their imam tells them who to vote for, because they're using democracy to end democracy, they'll use your constitution to end your constitution. They will use your values to overthrow your values, to replace your values. So they're going to use the system whilst they've got the protections of freedom of speech and they've got the protections under the Religious Freedom Act. Islam's not religion. It's a political ideology. The last thing they do is pray. These are command and control centers set up in your community to command and control the community, to change the community for what? For Sharia. Who's funding EPICSI? Have you looked into it?
It's questionable groups right now because I don't want to make the accusations on air, but I will say that what usually happens, I believe it might be Saudi-based.
Saudi-based, not Israel then.
No. Well, okay. This is the other thing, too.
Entire enclaves are being set up in your country, funded by Saudi, funded by Qatar, funded by Islamic nations, most of which those Islamic nations you currently have your right-wing commentators, many of them, in bed with.
Yeah.
That's the reality. So as your country's going to change its demographic, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you what's going to happen because I've watched it happen. Yeah. They're going to set up bases. And whilst they're setting up bases, you'll have people like Tucker Carlson telling you how great Qatar is. But Qatar has spent £1 billion in my country. £1 billion. And that £1 billion has gone to the spread of Islam and the Islamization of my nation. £1 billion Qatar. Yeah. They're not your friends. They're not your friends. Qatar fund most of them. It's the home and the base of most of these terrorist groups. It's the Hamas, their headquarters, Muslim Brotherhood, all of them. They sit there in their base and then they decide how they're going to Islamize. Remember, Islam's goal is to conquer the world. It's not to conquer Israel. It's to conquer the world. It's like some people think there was no problems up until 1948. It's like, oh, okay, Israel was formed in 1948. Well, it's 1,400 years of jihad. 1,400. It's like, no matter what conflict you look at, they have raped, pillaged, and smashed Christians. The Battle of the Gates of Vienna in 1638 was on September 11th. Yeah, the Battle of the Gates of Vienna. Israel wasn't here, okay? Islam was massacring. Islam was waging war upon who? Non-Muslims. 45 countries have turned to civil conflict because of what? Because Islam coming as a minority, like it's doing now in the United States of America, there's not one single example where it's peacefully coexisted. One. Now, that doesn't mean everything an Israeli government or an American government or a British government does is good or right. Yeah? But you need to understand, because I hear commentators in the United States talking about a Muslim-Christian alliance. Yeah, you come to Europe and tell us about a Muslim-Christian alliance. You come into Germany, or you go into France, or you go into Sweden, and you tell us about this Muslim-Christian alliance. You ain't going to get one. They might have a little alliance with you when they're at 1%. Trust me. Yeah?
Well, they could lie to us, of course, yeah.
And they are lying to you.
Yeah.
But they're not lying to you.
Yeah.
Your own commentators are lying to you. Tucker Carlson's lying to you. I'm just telling you how it is. I've watched him. Tucker Carlson come into my country.
In your opinion, yeah. That's how you...
It's not my opinion. It's not my opinion. It's a fact. Tucker Carlson is lying. Tucker Carlson come into my country and said, there's no problems here. What do you mean there's no problems here? A whole generation of our daughters are being raped. What do you mean there's no problem? Islam's all right because my taxi driver was nice. Yeah, well done, Tucker. That's right, innit? Qatar's great. Yeah, it's great. Great. They're funding every terrorist organization in the world. £1 billion, as I said. Most of the problems I see in my country. Do you know Qatar? I went in, when I walked in to do an Al Jazeera speech, you can go and find this interview. I went in to go into the Al Jazeera building. France had just been blown to bits in a terrorist attack. The money come from Qatar. I walk into Al Jazeera's head office, which again is just a propaganda machine on behalf of Islam.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay? That's what it is. I went in to Al Jazeera's office and I had to go through all these metal detectors everywhere. And security everywhere. And then I sat down and said, you cheeky bastards. We're out there on the street. They're killing us. In every European country. You're funding it. And then you sit in here protected by all your... You've literally got a military here to defend you. When the people that you're funding are in my country desecrating it. Desecrating it. So again, Tucker Carlson has no idea what he's talking about. If I'm honest, I'll watch and look and think... Well, come to the UK.
Can I jump in on this? Because I think this is the problem that
if anyone knows Tucker Carlson, get me sat down with him whilst I'm in America.
Well, I think it should be, I think you guys both should have an open debate, and I think it should be one
Again, when we're on about lying, he sat and pretended he didn't know me. I've been on his show twice. He's talked about me multiple times. Who's Tommy Robinson? Oh, no, I don't know him. Yeah.
Well, that was bizarre, because I actually learned who you were from watching Tucker Carlson
tonight.
He's
a liar. It's not bizarre. He's lying. Well, he's lying about me. He's lying about Qatar. He's lying about Islam. He's lying about the danger you face. And it's not just him. He's saying Muslim immigration is not going to be a threat to this nation. It's not, what? What the fuck are you talking about? Well, that is actually, to me, it's like, well, you're going to allow this to grow and grow and grow and grow. And none of these videos, I'm just telling you, America, none of these videos from these commentators who have took the stance of pro-Iran or pro-Qatar or any of these nations, none of them are going to age well, because you're going to face jihad like you did this week in Texas. It's going to happen time and time again. They're going to blow up your country. They're going to massacre your people. They're going to rape. They're going to pillage. And the whole time, you're going to go back to videos of people like Tucker Carlson saying, yeah, it's all right.
Well, I want to jump in on this because I think this is the big problem that I have. Number one, obviously, I'm very well aware of the Islamic threat, and I do truly believe that we do on the homeland have a massive, massive threat here. But to be fair, I mean, the reason what I'm against, though, 100% is all foreign money being poured into the United States, because it's not just Qatar, it's not just the Saudis, it's also Israel, and I know this for a fact because myself included, I've been offered on both sides of all of this. Qatar has offered, through someone else, has offered me a vacation for free, no cost, to go visit. Obviously, I'm not a moron. I want to go there because I'm very outspoken about the Islam threat here in the United States. But then Israel has also done the same. And there's also been, and again, it's through other groups. So we know what's going on here, but it happens on all fronts. There's
Okay, if Qatar want to pay me, let me come. I'll come and ask you some questions.
Would you like to?
I'll come and ask every question I want to ask. So let's see if they've got free speech. Do you know when I went on to Al Jazeera? Watch this. I went on to Al Jazeera. I've got some stupid ex-BBC presenter talking about free speech. I said, you haven't got free speech. What are you talking about? He said, we have free speech. People can speak freely. I said, you can't even leave Islam. It's punishable by death. What are you talking about? It's punishable by death. But I recorded the whole thing myself. So as I'm sitting talking and they've got their show, then I said, Mohammed's a murderer. He's a rapist. And then when they put their show out, guess what?
They cut it out.
They cut it out. But I've got the recording. So you can watch this recording. I've got the recording. And then I've got a man who, I'm not being funny, it's the same as Tucker Carlson. He's sitting there bullshitting, lying about free speech. He's lying about Qatar. He's lying about what the country's about. He's lying about their value system. He's lying about everything. He's lying about it. Qatar's a terrorist state. And I know our nations need to be, I know because of the economy, Qatar own more land in my country than the royal family. They've bought our countries. They're buying yours. Who's the biggest funder of universities? Who's funding all these places? Who's funding everything? The money's coming in from Qatar. It's coming in from Saudi. It's
China.
China as well. But China, they're all doing it because they want to see the fall of Western nations. They're happy for it. They want to see it.
Yeah. The money's flowing in all different directions, and I just 100% believe we should all cut it off, because there's no need for it. We as Americans could survive without it.
And if Americans are looking at it, saying, I don't want money coming from Israel, I don't want money coming from there, fair enough. But to sit and lie to the public and say, Islamic immigration is going to be fine for America, it's a lie.
No.
And you can look at our countries, and you're at crossroads. You either end up like Britain, and end up like France, and end up like Sweden. And what will happen is your politicians will bend to them. Everyone will bend to them. You've just seen my Keir Starmer there. If we had no Muslims in Britain, he wouldn't be doing that. And then he's going back on his value system, on our core allies, on the foreign policy. Everything's changing because of a 6% hostile Islamic community who will burn, riot, and murder. And that's it.
Yeah, I think that's the issue here, because we're seeing it firsthand here in Texas, and I think a lot of Americans just would rather kick the can down the road and not address the core issue of this, and that is that we're importing people that hate us. And it's rapidly kind of expanded over these last few years. And again, I don't think most people are going to understand how bad it is, because they stay in their compounds. They don't leave. And as Amy Meck puts it, you know, they're going to keep reproducing, and you're not going to know how many kids they have, because they don't have to report to the government, because everything is it's all inclusive. I mean, not for us, but for their properties. They've got the restaurants, they've got the schools, they've got the supermarkets, they've got the clothing stores. There's no reason for them to venture off and leave. And so from birth to death, they're going to be on those properties, and we won't even know who's there. And the worst part about it too is the individuals who, we had this issue on New Year's in 2025. There was an individual who was an American who was apparently attending a mosque, I believe, in Houston, and he carried out a terrorist attack in New Orleans. He used his car as a weapon and just mowed down people who were celebrating the New Year's in New Orleans. And he was someone who was domestic. He is somebody who is an American citizen who somehow, some way became radicalized. A lot of these people are flying out of the country, going to questionable countries that sponsor terrorism, and then coming back to the States, and this is what's happening.
Somehow, some way. It's an organized effort to convert, to radicalize. Again, where's the money coming from? It's coming from Iran. Again, you're taking out one of the main sponsors. You've just done it this week. The United States have took out one of the main sponsors of Islamic Jihad and terrorism around the globe. I think it's a great thing that they're gone. And let's see what replaces it. Who knows?
But that's the problem, yeah.
Yeah, it's the problem in Afghanistan and Iraq. I don't think it's a problem for the Persian people. I actually truthfully believe they're going to rise up, and they'll you'll see a freedom-loving Western nation, a Western loving nation.
Yeah, and I don't think we want our footprints on any of this, though, at this point.
No, I don't think anyone, because I see he hasn't clearly said that, but I don't want British troops in there. I don't want British troops in there. But if we can play a part and help out, British troops need to be in there? Do American troops need to be there? Time will tell. At the same time, they're working against you. They are, again, we got on it. So shall we just sit back? So let's say they're working on a nuclear weapon, yeah? Let's say they are. That's a difficult one, because we heard about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It was all a lie. It was all for the benefit of invading these nations. But Saddam Hussein wasn't a jihadist who wanted a worldwide caliphate. He wasn't, yeah? The spiritual leader, Khomeini, and Iran are. There's a whole, the difference in mindset, Saddam Hussein was quite happy just to be in charge of his people in Iraq. Gaddafi was quite happy just to control his country. But these people want world domination. They're working for it. So if they did have a button and they could press it, you'd all be gone. If they could. So then we don't know what intelligence Donald Trump has. I trust Donald Trump more than I trust any other politician. Donald Trump and the American government are fighting for us in Europe and our free speech. The Overton window shifted a lot in the last 12 to 18 months. A lot. And I give a lot of a round of applause to that coming from America. On free speech, on our rights as citizens. We don't have free speech. We live in a post-free speech era in Europe. There's no free speech.
Yeah.
No, if you know.
As you found out, yeah.
Yeah, as all of us are finding out. 12,000 people arrested last year for social media posts in Great Britain. 800 in Russia. Yet we keep getting told by our politicians about Russia.
Yeah.
It's like, no, stop pretending we have free speech. Stop pretending we're the land of freedom. We're not. You are a totalitarian state, and what are the weapons of a totalitarian? And not just us, because under the era of Joe Biden, and under the era of your establishment working alongside big tech, you were living under a totalitarian state. When you have an organized effort to influence big business, as we saw with the Twitter files, so to take businesses, put pressure on them and tell them what to do, to censor, deplatform and sideline and hide certain voices through cancel culture or things like that, deleting people, then you don't really have free speech. You don't really. You didn't at that time, because they didn't mind you having free speech if me and you were talking in a pub or me and you were talking in our lounge. But the minute you started using your free speech in platforms like this, they come for you. They come for you.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, we've got you here all day. We're excited to have you here. I know Alex is going to have you up next. That's the good news. And so will Harrison. We're very, very excited to have you here in Austin, Texas for the day. Folks, in the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It is the March mega sale going on right this second. 30 to 40% off your favorite supplements. Not all of the supplements, I believe. That might have changed. I'll have to scroll through it in a little bit and see myself. But yesterday, it was some of the most popular ones were on sale for 30 to 40% off. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you snag it before it's too late. Tommy Robinson's here on InfoWars full day, so there's much more ahead. Don't go anywhere.
Has InfoWars.
not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
The swamp is rotting from the inside out, and the stench is getting impossible to ignore.
Yes, I know Captain Stern. Never did there live a kinder, more generous man.
See?
Unless maybe the preschooler's prostitute ring.
A longtime Justice Department employee, Timothy Parsons, busted and charged with child pornography possession and distribution. The very agency that's supposed to hunt down these monsters now caught harboring one of their own. Then the New York Times dropped a bombshell on Rhode Island priests abusing hundreds of kids over 75 years with the church, shuffling predators like deck chairs on the Titanic while covering it all up.
The public deserves to know the truth, in my view, and they deserve to know it as a complete story, not a series of short stories that are told over time or over decades as priests are charged or as the media takes a particular interest over a certain period of time. The public deserves to know the whole story from 1950 to 2026, to see it all in its raw emotion and horror and impact.
Piling on, the cartel's black book of child buyers, allegedly kept by El Mencho himself, reportedly packed with 220 names of global power players, including some right here in the United States, scumbags placing custom orders for trafficked kids, complete with specific ages. References.
The cartel leader El Mencho, who was just killed, had a list of all the different world leaders that were on it and who was trying to get children. Because the drug traffickers make more money at trafficking children, and he has a list of world leaders and powerful people who are asking for certain kids and ages and types, and that list is what they're trying to protect right now.
And not to be outdone, the Uniparty, Congress itself, the deep state global elite filth is protecting their own while the kids pay the price.
I just think it's really disgusting how this institution protects itself, because y'all, just half of them voted to send this stuff to House Ethics, where you know it's going to die. We know that members of Congress are using taxpayer dollars to pay off sexual harassment. We just had a member of Congress literally sexually harass a woman that then lit herself on fire, and you guys all protected him. Yep. You guys all protected my own side, your side. And so if you guys want to talk about victims, if you want to go out and virtue signal, and then you guys are going to kill her stuff on the floor and then try to past. Yeah, of course, we should subpoena all of this stuff. But just, I'm not going to sit here and play games. I think it's a complete fraud. I think that's why the American people hate us. I think the midterms are coming up, and everyone should go on record for this. And I hope that members are exposed for this. I hope it goes back, I think, to the 70s, because it's wrong that it's happening. It's wrong that we cover up for it. It's wrong that we can't censor our own side, because people are busy making deals because you guys don't want to censor your side. It's a deal that's been cut, and people hate us for it. So, yeah, I support it.
You know, Congress has paid over $17 million in hush money for sexual misconduct inside of the offices in these buildings. And what's more is that was taxpayer money, right? The allegation is that President Trump paid $130,000 of his own money. But here in Congress, we have, there may be some on this dais. I mean, I'm for turning loose all of these records. Who in here has had the taxpayer pay for their sexual misconduct charges the hush money? I bet there's some over there. There may be some over here. I don't know, but I do know it's taxpayer money, and I do know not a single penny of it has been turned in as a campaign finance expense.
From DOJ insiders to cartel traffickers to Capitol Hill payoffs, the pattern screams one thing into the noonday sun. The powerful shield the predators because too many of them are the predators themselves.
How do we do it to where we hold people accountable but still keep the system from collapsing, as you talked about earlier?
Let the system collapse. A system run by twisted power pedos is no system at all.
He's nothing but a low-down, double-dealing, backstabbing, larcenous, perverted worm. Hanging's too good for him. Burning's too good for him. He should be torn into little bits and pieces and buried alive.
John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a foundation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra-methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealchemstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here on this beautiful Friday morning. Yeah, the president nonstop posting the Truth Social. We're trying to keep up with him, but there's a lot going on there. He has a full schedule up ahead. We'll get into that in a little bit. We're glad you're joining us. You and we had that sit-down interview with Tommy Robinson here in studio while he was in Texas. And a lot of you really did enjoy that. I know a lot of people were also very critical, but it's always great to have that open dialogue. And I did enjoy the discussion, even though I didn't entirely agree with him on a lot. But, you know, we could have those discussions, those disputes, those back and forth, those debates. That's what makes this country great, is the fact that we're able to have free speech. So it was an honor to have him in studio. But speaking of that, we have a great lineup of guests joining us. Dinesh D'Souza will be on with me in just a little bit. I'll also be joined by Mel Kay in a moment. But before we get to Dinesh, which I'm very excited about because we haven't had him on with me so far on this show, and I've got a lot to talk about him. I've been a fan of his for quite some time, so it's an honor to have him on the program today. But before we get there, I wanted to bring your attention to a new True Social post posted by the President of the United States just moments ago. The president saying there will be no deal with Iran, except, obviously, he was looking for them to surrender. The regime he's talking about exclusively here. Now, many are critical of the attacks that took place last week. Obviously, as many of you guys know, the United States worked with Israel to go after Iran and killing some of their top leaders, including the supreme leader as well. But it seems to be very controversial. You know, Americans voted for President Trump because we wanted America first policies. So I know a lot of Americans are questioning just that. Why would Iran
being, you know, well, I guess the United States and Israel teaming up to go after Iran, how would that be America first? Well, Dinesh D'Souza did an incredible interview, and he does a lot of great work on his podcast. I want to play clip one for you because he spoke with an Iranian woman who's trying to make the case that actually this is America first. Take a listen.
I'd like to ask you, Goldie, to address a concern that is on the right, and particularly coming from a lot of young people. To them, regime change is generally a bad word, and they see it like happening all over again. Many of these same people say, why shouldn't our government prioritize America instead of these adventures abroad? If you were speaking directly to those people, what would you say to them?
What's happening right now is not regime change. It's a reversal. It's undoing the regime change of 1979 and taking Iran back to what we were before American intervention. So that would be number one. Number two, with respect to the concern about the needs of Americans, American needs should be put forward first by American presidents and American policy. And that's exactly what President Trump is doing. The Islamic regime has been waging a forever war against the United States for the last 47 years. That is very, very expensive. This is money and dollars that could be going towards investing in young people. President Trump is actually ending this 47-year forever war. Once that happens, Iran will go back to being an ally of the United States, and we can continue then to focus on, you know, our respective countries. So it's a win-win situation for everyone here. That's how I would frame it.
Joining me to discuss is Dinesh D'Souza. He is the host of Dinesh, which is a weekly show you can catch on X, YouTube, Rumble, and it's also available as an audio-only show on Apple and Spotify as well. And many of you guys know he's an incredible filmmaker and an author as well. So it is an honor to have Dinesh on the program today. Thank you for joining me. It's, like I said, I've been a big fan of your work for quite some time. And this is a very interesting interview that you've just carried out and you just posted online. I wanted to get your take on this because you understand a lot of Americans saw what happened last weekend and are a little upset with the administration because they don't see this as an America first action. What was your takeaway from the discussion that you had with this Iranian woman?
Well, I think she started out by making a point that deserves a moment of elaboration, which is this, that Iran was a prosperous, pro-American country, and then Jimmy Carter came to office, and he said, I am a champion of human rights. The Shah of Iran is a dictator. He has a secret police. I'm going to pull the Persian rug out from under him. And the Shah collapsed and we got Khomeini. So the point here is that the United States actually played an enabling role in giving radical Islam control of its first major state. Notice that everywhere around the world, elsewhere, you've just got these ragtag groups. You know, of course, you have the Taliban now back in power in Afghanistan, but radical Islam only has control of one major state, and that's Iran. And they're using it as a beachhead. They've been using it for a lot of trouble around the world, not just in their own part of the world, but projecting also into the Americas, places like Venezuela, places like Mexico. They operate through proxies like Hezbollah. So I agree with my guest, Goldie Ghamari, to say, look, it is very expensive to deal with this kind of problem over the long term. And if we could have a prosperous pro-American Iran back again at a reasonable cost, I say that is America first.
Yeah, I think a lot of Americans are worried about the casualties, and they're also worried about our veterans as well. That seems to be something that's on the front minds of a lot of individuals. You know, we had Mark Lucas on the program yesterday, and he's actually the founder of Veteran Action. And one of his concerns, too, although he does support, you know, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War and the President of the United States as well, is this new generation of veterans that are going to be created from all of this. Do you see this as being a long, kind of drawn-out war with Iran? Or do you think based on, I mean, they've had a lot of success over these last few days right now. I don't think that they even thought they were going to be able to take out this many of the top leaders of the regime. Do you think this will be over within a couple of weeks?
I think it could be, but I think the key issue, Brianna, is this. We should distinguish between the regime change, and I would call it nanny state management of other countries. Yeah. Even if we go back to the examples of Iraq and Afghanistan, in Afghanistan, we were not wrong to do the regime change. I mean, think about it. The Taliban sponsored 9/11, so for us to blow them out and drive them into the mountains was the right thing to do. Now, the wrong thing to do was then to somehow think that we could run that country and organize its tribal meetings and convert it into a democracy. This was all the stupidity of the Bush neoconservatives. We should not have done any of that. Even in Iraq, where we should not have gotten involved because the weapons of mass destruction, that threat turned out to be false. But even let's say we did, we got rid of Saddam Hussein again. There's no reason to sort of take over management of Iraq. So I think the lesson we learn here is eject the mullahs, overthrow the regime, let the Iranians sort out their own destiny. They're perfectly capable of running their own country. So if we avoid that mistake, if we learn that lesson, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we're going to have to sit back and watch to see how it all plays out. You know, I have confidence in the president. I think he's been he's made great decisions and over these last few years as well. So I would just sit back and watch that one. I haven't really given it a strong take yet just because I want to see how this all plays out right now. So I think the American people should do just that. But one of my greatest concerns, and it was actually addressed yesterday by the Secretary of War, is the immigration issue, the refugees that are potentially going to be fleeing then Iran and possibly making their way into the United States. And one reporter actually asked that question. I was very happy that he did. Take a listen to clip two.
One common outcome of American military action in the past has been taking in thousands of refugees into the American homeland, and I'm wondering if there's any safeguards put in place to make sure that the American people aren't having to have another wave of refugees from the Middle East or anywhere else come and stay here.
I think it's safe to say there's no plan for a wave of new Middle Eastern refugees to the United States of America. I think, as the president has pointed out for a long time, there are a lot of countries in the region who would be capable of providing that kind of support if need be, but that's certainly not something we're planning on.
Yeah.
All right, so that's obviously refreshing news for the American people because we've watched these wars play out in the Middle East, and as a result of a lot of them, we see the influx of Muslim migrants coming into the United States. Dinesh, do you think if there's another administration that might possibly be Democrats, we might actually see another sea of Iranian refugees coming into the United States? Or do you think that that's not even a possibility as of yet?
You know, there was a wave of Iranians who fled after the Iranian Revolution. They were the more secular Iranians. Many of them came here. Some of them live in places like L.A. The remarkable thing about the Iranians, there are a few countries in the world where people are like this. They are hyper-patriotic, and I would not be surprised in a new Iran to actually see the reverse, to see a bunch of Iranians who have essentially become a diaspora community around the world go back to Iran. Even now, notice a difference between Iran and Gaza, mm-hmm. right? You've got bombing going on in Iran. You would think the whole population would be like, let's get out of here. But no. I mean, we see even on social media all these videos of Iranians basically saying, guess what? The U.S. is bombing very surgically. We're happy the U.S. is here. We're fine. We're going to stay put. We're not leaving the country. So you haven't seen that predictable wave of refugees leaving the country even now. And I think this bodes well for the future of Iran. These are people who actually want to rebuild their own country.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it seems like. And I saw yesterday also the Secretary of War telling Iranians to hold off and wait. Don't go out there just yet. We'll clear the way for you guys so you're safe. And then you could go and try your very best to push back onto the regime and take back power. And we'll make sure that we clear that for you so you guys are safe to do just that. So that's something to definitely keep our eye out for. I wanted to get your take on this because, you know, your son-in-law is doing an incredible job. And I'm very, very proud of him in Texas. He's fighting to push back on a lot of the Islam issues here in the States right now. This is something that's very, very concerning for those who live in Texas. I just moved out here a year ago, and I didn't realize how bad it was until I was walking around Plano. And it is a really bad situation. But there's a sense of relief. There's certain members of Congress being led by Texas Republicans in Congress who are going out there and pushing back. They just recently launched the Sharia Caucus. They just announced yesterday, Congressman Keith Self as well, that 46 new members have just joined their efforts.
I mean, this is really refreshing, Dinesh, that we're having people coming out and they're speaking on this issue. You know, we had Tommy Robinson here in studio, and he also met with a lot of key people in this movement right now. And he was really impressed with how so many politicians, including Congressman Gill, were able to go out there and articulate the threat that is Islam that's migrated its way into the United States and put this together. He said, in the UK, we would never do something like this. You'd never be able to get over four dozen individuals to come on board, lawmakers, to join such a impactful effort to stop the Islamic takeover of this country. Your reaction to Self yesterday announcing that there's a new additional members, they've now actually reached 46 of those.
Yeah, this is a huge, let me connect the two issues we've been talking about, because it seems to me like radical Islam is moving on two independent fronts. The first one is the kind of attack front, and this is the terrorist organizations, this is Iran, this is Hamas and Hezbollah, and Trump is dealing with it, right? And by the way, we could use a big win against radical Islam with Iran. We have had some big losses. We haven't done a very good job in fighting radical Islam all the way going back to 9/11 and even before. So a victory in Iran would be huge. Now, the other strategy used by the radical Muslims is different. It is the infiltration strategy, and it's being deployed in Australia and Canada and Europe and also in the United States. And by and large, we have been defenseless against it, in part because the radical Muslims are very clever and they travel on the passport of our own liberties. It's like, hey, how can you stop us from, you know, the call to prayer? You have church bells, so you've got to allow us to do the public call to prayer five times a day. And we're like, oh, well, you know. So in other words, we are paralyzed in a certain way by our own commitment to these principles, which we have to apply in a neutral way. The Muslims, by the way, would never bother to do that, right? If we go to the United Arab Emirates and say, we want to build the largest church in the world right here, they'd be like, no. And if we say, well, why not? You've got a lot of mosques. They'd be like, well, who cares? We're a Muslim country. That's not how we do things around here. Sorry, no. But we don't have that ability in this country to say, sorry, no. And I see this new development in which, you know, my son-in-law, Brandon Gill, is a part of, and many others, is really an effort to deal with this problem of massive Islamic infiltration, including in red states like Texas.
Yeah, and Dinesh, my question for you is this. I know a lot of individuals are now saying that maybe we should be pushing back on all of this by arguing that Islam isn't a religion. Do you think that that's the appropriate approach here?
I don't think that that approach will work. This is just obviously my personal opinion, and it's for this reason. I mean, Islam is one of the four or five of the largest religions in the world, right? It's got 2 billion followers. So it's kind of difficult. I mean, can you imagine? I don't even know if the conservatives on the Supreme Court, if you were to say to them, guess what? We're now going to take Islam and decide that this religion from the 7th century with 2 billion people around the world is not a religion at all. They would be like, well, actually it is. What is the definition of a religion except a large group of people who believe in God and have a whole set of rites and rituals around that? How is it different from, let's say, Hinduism or any other religion in the world, or Judaism for that matter, or Christianity for that matter? So my point is only this. It's not that I'm not trying to get to the same goal. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that we've got to figure out is what is the best strategy in order to resist these people. But I just think reclassifying Islam as, quote, not a religion is not going to do it.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. And, you know, we're going to have to come up with a strategy to figure this one out. And like you alluded to, too, I want to get to clip four, because the UK Home Secretary, she's out speaking in regards to Islam in the UK. Now, they can't take an aggressive approach on a lot of this. Here in the United States, we do have that luxury, because I think we're pretty early on in these phases right now. But in the UK, they really can't do just that. And they're debating the burqa argument, whether or not they should be banning those. Take a listen.
Ask you a personal question. You do not cover your hair. When you came in here, you shook my hand. There will be people in your own constituency who regard this as conduct unbecoming in a woman. What do you say to those people?
Well, look, I think they're wrong. I mean, you know, Islam as a religion, much like politics, is very contested in terms of what the requirements of faith are and how the faith should be practiced. I've always respected women who cover their head, who wear a headscarf. I think that that's a personal choice for women to make. When I was younger, I went through phases of wearing a headscarf and then not wearing one and then wearing one again as an adult. I've not worn one. I've made that choice for myself. So I respect freedom of choice, but also freedom of conscience, because lots of...
When you say made that choice, by the way, May I ask you,
yes.
It's not just a fashion statement, is it?
No.
What does it mean?
I think for women that cover their hair, it's part of, it's an act of faith. It's an act of fidelity to the rules of modest dressing in faith.
And the decision not to wear.
And I happen to believe you can show fidelity to the teachings of modesty in dress without having to cover your hair as well. So there is a difference. It's the theology here is contested. I may well be in a minority view, but I've always respected people's individual freedoms of conscience. You know, different Muslims will have different ways of practicing. Some are very orthodox, maybe, or you could use the words ultra-orthodox to describe, you know, behavior where a woman wouldn't shake hands with a man. I've respected the freedom that people have to make that choice for themselves, but that is not something I think is required in order to...
So you never sign up to ban the burqa movement?
I don't think it's the state's job in this country to be telling women what to wear, either to, you know, uncover or cover up. You know, women can decide for themselves how they wear, what they wear and how they conduct themselves.
One other aspect.
I want to jump in this. Okay, so Dinesh, do you think that's going to hold over? Because we know that when Islam does become the majority, they do tend to turn to Sharia, and these requirements do actually become law, so women will be forced to wear these burqas. Do you think that, I mean, her stance is fair, I'd say. Like, it shouldn't be banned. Everyone should be able to practice whatever religion that they want to practice. But do you think that this would stand if the majority were to flip?
No, I think, you know, I was laughing at listening to this because to me, I was thinking to myself, this is like, I would call it Islamic Protestantism. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, Protestantism is the idea that, you know, we don't go with a sort of single interpretation and we don't have a pope, priesthood of the individual believer, freedom of choice. And this is the kind of thing that she was echoing, right? Let's leave it up to the individual to make a decision. But this is in fact not the mainstream view in Islam. And I'm not even just talking about radical Islam. I'm talking about Islam itself. The view in Islam, by and large, is that there is a sort of not only a code of laws, but an interpretive tradition for how these laws are to be read. And so once Muslims have a majority, it is quite likely. Remember, in Islam, there's really no such concept as a legislature. It's not even that they make laws. The Quran is the legislature, and all Muslims and Muslim societies are merely supposed to be the executive and the judicial branch. In other words, carry out the laws, but the laws are in the Quran. They don't come from any place else. There's no separate constitution to give you these laws. So this is something that we're dealing with at a very profound level, because Islam's conception of law is different from ours. And you can see in Britain, this poor woman is struggling to figure out how to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all know what happens when you say something, though, in the UK now, if they don't like it, it doesn't go well for you. You know, we had Tommy Robinson in studio, and he could attest to that firsthand, that the UK doesn't have free speech, and the retaliation is usually a ton of death threats to both you and your family in the UK. And so it's very unfortunate, but we're going to keep our eye on it. Dinesh D'Souza, you do an incredible job. And I want to point our audience again to your show that you do. It's a weekly show. And you guys, if you guys want to give it a follow, it's over on X, YouTube, Rumble. And then they also have the audio version, which is available on both Apple and Spotify. It's called Dinesh. And you can find him on X as well, Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, it's an honor to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, a lot happening. We just got a couple breaking stories in. I'm going to kind of walk you through it right now. This is actually all coming from CNN, so bear with me. CNN's reporting that they jumped on a call with President Trump, that individual being Dana Bash, claiming that during a call this morning with the president said that Cuba is going to fall pretty soon. That's a direct quote. She goes on to say, Cuba is going to fall pretty soon, by the way. Unrelated, but Cuba is going to fall too. Again, it sounds really repetitive. I wish we had the recordings for you all. They want to make a deal so badly. Now, that's dropping from CNN right now. Again, we're going to see what the details are on that. I know a lot of Cuban Americans in Florida, they're probably cheering on the president. I mean, this is something else, again, that's been long overdue. The communist regime in Cuba has had a death grip on the Cuban people. And so it will be interesting on what kind of deal they're able to work out.
The fall of communism, obviously, is something that I truly do love to see. But this is a lot. This is a lot happening in a very quick time span on several countries. And so we'll keep our eye to that and see if there's any developments. That story just dropping moments ago. Also, another report coming out from CNN, and I hate that I have to say that, especially on this show. But CNN dropping another report, and it's in regards to the J6 chairman of that select committee, Barry Loudermilk. He's put out a statement, or he's put out a criminal referral, I should say, to the DOJ, urging them to file charges against the former White House aide, Cassidy Hutchinson. Now, as many of you guys know, she's accused of lying during her J6 testimony. It was a lie that has been debunked repeatedly. So now it looks like the chairman is referring her for criminal charges. That would be great to see. That would be great to see. But again, there's been several criminal referrals sent over to the DOJ and no movement on that front. People like James Comer has been very fired up, very upset about there being no movement. And so we'll see if there's anything that comes of this. But again, several reports dropping just moments ago. We're going to walk you through everything else as well in just a moment. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go somewhere, you got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. If you're wondering why, well, it's because you have the March Mega Sale and it's going on right now. All of your favorite supplements right now are on sale, up to 40% off. Methylene Blue, by the way, the capsules, well, those are 50% off right now. That's when you buy the other Methylene Blue as well. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off Methylene Blue, plus up to 40% off the other supplements as well. Head over to the shop.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, trying to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site,
You become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on theoutsourcestore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theoutsourcestore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here. Mel Kay will be joining us in the third hour of the program as well. Also, we'll be taking your calls in the top of the third hour of the program. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539. I'll try to get to all the calls, keep them quick so we can make our way down the list. But I wanted to get to this soundbite because, you know, Stephen Miller, I've disagreed with him on some of his issues, but when it comes to mass migration and outlining the threat that it imposes on those in the West, he actually does a really incredible job at doing just that. I want you to take a listen to clip three in the latest that he has to say on the issue. Take a listen.
I would make the point to you, as others have pointed out before, including the president of El Salvador, that the West only achieved the place that it did in human history because it spent previous centuries eradicating the criminal elements within its territories. So the West that we came to know, that had the great music and architecture and science and the most powerful economy, it had spent centuries previous to that establishing order first. So that by the time you get, you know, to say 18th century England, 19th century England, there have been centuries of previous history in which ruthless means were used to get rid of the people who were raping and murdering and defying established systems of order and justice. And then when people could live freely and peaceably, and children and families and women could be safe, then it became possible to pursue all of these higher elements of life. So when people who are coming to countries like yours that have had struggles and difficulties and pains and challenges, and they're telling you anything other than first and foremost, secure your countries and your territory. They're giving you not only terrible advice, but advice if someone had come to Europe centuries ago and they had followed that advice, Europe would have never became the Europe that it eventually became. And the reason why many Western countries are struggling today is they've forgotten the eternal truth and wisdoms they once followed.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to highlight just that. Now, folks, you can't coward up on the issue. You can't sit here and try to teeter all of this and pretend like this isn't the threat. We've imported people that hate this country, people who hate what we stand for, people that hate the West as a whole. And so to sit here and to continue to bring them in is not only stupid, but it's suicide. It's absolute suicide. And Stephen Miller does a great job at outlining just that. And I think it's quite impressive that he continues to do that consistently. And I think he's very fair and balanced in his criticisms when he does that. So there that is. I want to play clip eight for you next. This is the newly released body cam footage. We talked about this story earlier this week. If you recall, over the weekend, there was a terror attack that was carried out in Austin, Texas, inside of a bar. Several young people. And it's so devastating because when you look at the people who were hurt, it's all just young 20-year-olds who are just looking to have a good time. Unfortunately, an Islamic terrorist decided to intervene and carry out a horrific, horrific attack. But local law enforcement, Austin PD, responded within 57 seconds. We've just now gotten the body cam footage from those officers' cams. Take a listen.
with you.
AR-15
Down! Everybody down! Down! Down!
Where?
Down! Where is he?
Where?
We don't know where he is.
Hey!
Front two, two shots fired, one down.
Hey, don't move!
And West Side. Exactly. Light sweater, light camo.
Bro! Where is he? Where is he?
Over there.
He's on 6th Street. Where is he? Where is he? Who shot? I'm on the suspect. Move here now. I'm on the 6th and West.
God bless those police officers for doing what they did there. That is what happens when law enforcement is well trained, when they know exactly how to handle these issues, and when they don't act like cowards. And we should be very thankful. Those three officers that responded, by the way, need to be celebrated. They need to be honored. And the city of Austin, who consistently goes out there and bashes police, they need to pay their respects. They should be very grateful for what happened that day. And again, a lot of those individuals that were at that bar, obviously unarmed, and so they needed a savior that day. And thank God those police officers were ready to act, and they were not a bunch of cowards, because we've seen that happen, sadly, in different instances. And this was one that I think was quite the impressive response. And so we're very grateful for what those officers did that day, and they should be celebrated and promoted and treated with respect. All right, let's pivot a little bit, because a lot of drama is going down in Washington, D.C. The swamp is getting swampy, getting very swampy. You may have heard of the reports regarding the DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. President Trump doing a little switcheroo. He's now moving in Mark Wayne Mullen, who is the senator, obviously, right now serving in the Senate. He's swapping him out for Kristi Noem. Now, this is effective March 31st of 2026. And it's interesting to see, because there's been a lot of controversy behind Kristi Noem, and I want to be as respectful as possible in all of this, because there's been a lot of rumors. And, you know, Kristi Noem didn't have law enforcement experience, but they still confirmed her in this position, and President Trump still nominated for her for this position. And she was put in a really tough slot. I mean, the reality of it is there was a border crisis. Millions of unknown individuals were brought into this country, invaders. And she had to sift through all of it and figure out how she was going to get these people as out of the country as fast as she could. And she's gotten roughly about 3 million out. So that's a big, big number. Now, Kristi Noem, too, before we start talking about the details and all of this, let me just highlight the fact that I was very thankful, because as many of you know, if you follow my work, you know, I had declared war on the Quiet Skies list. That was TSA even suing and winning TSA, a lawsuit against TSA, because TSA was, well, spying on Americans, surveilling them illegally, and was using millions and millions of taxpayer dollars to fund a project that never actually captured any known terrorist. It was used to harass Americans, and I was a very, I guess there was a couple of reporters on it, so I won't take full credit, but I was one of the loudest ones, for sure, even breaking that story about Tulsi Gabbard being added to that list in 2024. Well, Noem squashed all of that. And now also keep in mind, you don't have to take your shoes off at the airport because of Noem, too. So before, you know, I dive into that, I want to just let you know there was a lot of wins under Noem's belt. She was someone who was in over her head. There wasn't enough funding. There wasn't enough immigration judges. And, you know, there's that. But the president, according to her, and this was according to her testimony, we played that clip for you when she was in the Senate and she was grilled by Senator John Kennedy about $220 million that was dished out of our funds, of course, our money, to promote the self-deportations and other things for illegal aliens, because they wanted to run a full campaign to get illegal aliens out of this country. Now, she claimed during her testimony that President Trump knew about all of this and actually signed off on it. But apparently that had President Trump really fired up. Now, whether or not he knew about it, we still don't know, because he has not directly admitted to any of this. This is just based off reports. And those reports claim that the president didn't know anything about this. And that is why he was so angry. Now, again, she's not fired technically. She's just being moved to a position that I've never heard of before, and the details of that position are still unknown. It's about a project that's going to launch later this weekend, the Shield of the Americas. I'm sure maybe that's like a Golden Dome type of thing. But this is very important to highlight the controversy behind this. And that's why I started at the beginning of the week, because I had a feeling that it was going to ramp up. So there was obviously a lot of Republicans who are very, well, we'll just say not happy campers in regards to those funds being dished out. $220 million is a lot of money, a lot of money. There needs to be a justification for it. And when you follow where that money went, there's a lot of questions being asked in regards to that, because it appears that the funds were given out to PR firms that were very conservative friendly. There's accusations that one of those firms was tied into her former spokeswoman, someone who the spokeswoman, Trish McLaughlin, was married to. Now, again, Trish McLaughlin, someone I highly respect, but those are the accusations that they were facing. And when Noam was asked about it, she played it cool, but she claimed that this was there was a bidding process for all of it. Well, the bidding process apparently only really included conservative-friendly PR groups. And according to reports, one of those groups actually was only established about 8 days prior to getting $143 million sent their way. Now, these are the accusations being made by Democrats and some Republicans. When Noam was confronted about those funds being dished out to this newly established group, well, this is what she had to say in clip five. Take a listen.
Madam Secretary, I'll read from the notice from your agency. Given the immediate action to significantly reduce illegal immigration and border crossings, DHS identified four companies. Mm-hmm. Four. Of the hundreds of thousands of companies in the United States, you identified four. Mm-hmm. One of those is this Safe America Media Company. Where is Safe America Media headquartered?
I don't know.
I don't know either, Madam Secretary. We can't find it. Mm-hmm. We can't find a website. We did find an address that's registered for this company. Do you know where that address is?
Is there a problem with this contract?
I'll tell you about
it. According to
Madam Secretary,
the
address is registered to a political operative. Madam Secretary, the company, and then I'll give you an opportunity to respond. The company is registered to a political operative in Virginia. Do you know, just by way of example, whether this company that received $143 million in taxpayer dollars, has it ever done work for the government before?
I don't know. I can't.
The answer is it has not. And do you know why we know that? Because it was incorporated 8 days. 8 days before this contract went out. You want the American people to believe that this is all above board?
Yes,
that $143 million of taxpayer money just happened to go to this one company that doesn't have a headquarters, doesn't have a website, has never done work for the federal government before, and is registered, apparently, or attached to a residence from a political operative. And, of course, one of the subcontractors of that contract, as you know, is a political firm that's tied to you back when you were governor of South Dakota. The reason why I ask these questions is that this is taxpayer money. And I presume, I don't know this for a fact, but Senator Tillis noted yesterday the way in which your agency is blocking the inspector general from 11 different investigations that it is trying to conduct. I don't know if this happens to be one of them. I certainly hope it is, because eventually the facts will become public in this regard. And
well, look, we look forward to the facts. I mean, I think it's important to hold these standards across the board. The American people want to know where their taxpayer money is going off to. And so this is important to openly discuss. But again, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions here. Let's see where the facts lead us to. Again, I don't want to just focus on Somalian fraud. I want to focus on all the fraud. If there's fraud, if there's misuse of taxpayer dollars, let's call it out. Now, keep in mind, again, the Biden administration used a ton of your money to shift over to sketchy COVID funds. And so there's that. And again, the DOJ coming out and saying that we were creating a division that was going to go after and be focused on fraud, we still haven't been informed as to who the U.S. attorney who is going to be running that division is. So there's a lot there. And by the way, folks, if you want to weigh on this topic, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call. But I want to keep diving into this because there's also other claims being made against her. And this one, I hate making anything about sexual relationships public, especially when there's a marriage involved here. But she was obviously also asked during her testimony, she was asked in regards to her relationship with Corey Lewandowski. Now, Corey Lewandowski and her there's been rumors regarding whether or not they were having an affair together. Now, keep in mind, Kristi Noem's husband was right behind her during the testimony. And so it's obviously a very uncomfortable situation. But according to reports, and Corey Lewandowski did not provide comment when asked about this, but according to reports, President Trump was officially done with her when he saw her response regarding that. According to, I believe this was like the New York Post, it's, quote, a final straw for all of this. Now, those internally over at DHS said that they really weren't too happy with Corey Lewandowski being there. There was a lot of staff clashes going on behind the scenes. And so there's that little snippet for you there. But as a whole, Kristi Noem was someone who didn't have law enforcement experience. Again, President Trump appointed her. Although she was governor of South Dakota, President Trump gave her this position, knowing there was a lack of law enforcement background on her behalf. And I think she did a good job for just that. Folks, a lot of this, I don't want it to be a distraction, but I want to hold the same standards, right? Because if this was a Democrat, I'd be fired up. I'd be calling them out on this. So it's fair to say that, yes, we need to see more evidence of this. We need to see exactly what happened to that $220 million. I'm all on board for that. I'm all on board for that. And so we'll continue to follow it as it develops. Of course, I'm sure this isn't going away anytime soon. Democrats are all over the issue. And Republicans also fair to call it out, as you should, as you should. All right, let's give you an update regarding Tony Gonzalez. As many of you guys know, we've been covering this story. Tony Gonzalez, we played the clip yesterday for you, admitted to having an affair with that staffer. Well, he has officially stepped out of his reelection efforts. As many of you guys know, he was facing a runoff in Texas. And he has officially bowed out. So although he will be holding his seat, he is no longer going to be running for re-election, putting out a statement late last night. After deep reflection and with support of my loving family, I've decided not to seek re-election. So he's going to continue to serve out this term. And then once his term is up, he's gone. Brandon Herrera is the new Republican who's going to be leading that ticket now that he stepped out of the runoff race. And we wish him the very best. He's a veteran. And, he has an invitation to join this show. So we look forward to hopefully one day getting him on the program as well. I think that is extremely, extremely important to do just that. All right, let's switch over to another topic I'm very passionate about these days. You know, there's an effort by the swamp creatures over in the Senate to try to push out Ken Paxton. Ken Paxton, our fighter here in Texas, best AG that we have in the country. They want to keep John Cornyn in. And I said it yesterday when we had Sarah Gonzalez on the program, and it's not that I have any background knowledge on it. I just think that there's probably a lot here. And by a lot here, I'm referring to the fact that the Save America Act is not really moving in the Senate right now. It's actually sitting on ice. And so one of my big questions on all of this was, well, what the heck is going on here? So I have a feeling that, and again, this is just conspiratorial, that they're intentionally not trying to put forward that bill because they're trying to hold it over the president's head. Because why else would the president endorse John Cornyn? And again, a lot of reports pointing at that endorsement coming soon. John Cornyn is a coward. He's a treasonous pig. He decided to defend deep state operatives by backing FISA, the same FISA that was used against President Trump. He claimed has never actually been used legally to surveil on American citizens, which is garbage if you follow the whole Russian collusion hoax. We all know that, of course. Crossfire Hurricane was at the center of the FISA scandal, blew it wide open. We also know that there was BLM organizers who were also targeted through FISA as well. And so to play it fair, yes, it's been used against both sides. But John Cornyn doesn't care. He has to defend his deep state operatives. That's his baby. So it's quite disturbing. And there's a lot of examples of how much of a bad person John Cornyn is. There's a new clip. I'm going to unearth it for you. I don't even know that's a real term. Let's unearth it together, though. Clip 6. It's a clip that highlights the fact that John Cornyn supported Jack Smith when he was leading his persecution against President Donald Trump. Take a listen.
Also wanted to ask you about the indictment and the charges against former President Trump. Have you read the indictment, and how serious, I mean, you're a former judge, a former attorney general of the state of Texas, how serious are these charges against him?
They're very serious. We simply do not take classified documents out of a secure facility. I happen to be a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and I review classified documents on a regular basis each week. This is information our adversaries would like to get their hands on, and that's why you handle them in a very scrupulous and careful manner. But the problem seems to be not that so much just that he had these documents, but that when he was asked to return them, and he did not do so. And I think, unfortunately, he's created a circumstance for himself, which is, I think, very, very serious. The problem is, you know, a lot of people feel like President Trump has been picked on from the Russian collusion case, the Steele dossier, and those sorts of things. And I find myself in agreement with those who say, yes, that was unfair. There was a double standard as it was applied to President Trump during the Russian collusion scandal. But this one is basically something that he's admitted to, all of the material facts. And we'll have to see what the judge and jury does. I saw the judge has already set a trial date for August, which is pretty quick, which is something that the special counsel has asked for. But this is out of my hands. This is out of the hands of politics now. It's up to the courts to make the decision.
Yeah, he's trying to pretend like it's not impartial. Obviously, we all know that Jack Smith was a political hack looking to go after President Trump because he didn't want to making his way back into the White House. And John Cornyn, the gutless deep state operative, had no problem pretending like this was all justifiable. It's not justifiable. And Texans knew just that. And that is the reason why Texans are trying to get him tossed out of the state. But you have Republicans that are fighting to keep him in his seat. Why? Well, because he works for the deep state operatives. You've got to keep protecting this guy. This guy will fall on the sword for them. And you know, Ken Paxton's not going to do just that. In fact, Ken Paxton has proven his loyalty to the president of the United States on several different occasions. Even at one point being sued by the board, the bar, they tried their very best to get him removed. And we all saw it in front of our own eyes. Why? Because he, decided to stick up for the 2020 elections. Not many people had the cojones to go out there and say there was massive amount of fraud due to the mail-in ballot push for the fake COVID pandemic. And that's exactly what he did. And they tried to go after him for it. So, Mr. President, you've got to be loyal. Ken Paxton has earned a promotion. To sit here and pretend like he hasn't is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Ken Paxton shouldn't bow out unless, of course, the Senate, they want to keep John Cornyn there, must commit to confirming Ken Paxton as the U.S. Attorney General. That's the only way this makes sense. The only way. Or, of course, there's a Supreme Court seat that wants to open up anytime soon. Maybe swap those out. The Senate wants to keep their deep state operative in his seat so badly. Well, let's roll the dice a little bit. But here's the problem, right? This is all going to be like a chess game right now because Ken Paxton posting yesterday on X as well that the Save America Act is the most important bill the U.S. Senate could ever pass. And I'm committing to helping the president get it done. Again, Patriot putting the president's agenda before his own. John Cornyn is a coward, rightfully so. Then he goes on to saying, I would consider dropping out of this race if the Senate leadership agrees to lift the filibuster and pass the Save America Act. So again, Ken Paxton proving that he is a man of character in regards to defending our elections. But I would say he should defend our elections by not letting up on this issue whatsoever. There's no reason to, folks. There's no reason to allow them to back you into a corner and to continue to target this seat. Yeah, they're upset. They're upset right now. Why? Well, because they're upset because they want to keep John Cornyn in his seat. He has not earned it. And if he has earned it, guess what? The American people, Texans, would be voting him in. He lost when you combine the two candidates' votes together. He lost 60% of the votes. See, this is the problem with runoff races. That third person who was sitting on the primary ticket shouldn't have been there because those votes likely would have went to Ken Paxton. And then also keep in mind, folks, we have open primaries in Texas, which I think is horrific. Absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific. There's no reason for it. Folks, if you want to join the show, the number is 877-789-2539. We'll be getting to your calls in about 5 minutes. The number again, 877-789-2539. We'll be doing about 20 minutes worth of phone calls, and then we'll be joined by Mel Kay as well. So I look forward to that. We'll be going down the list. So call us, 877-789-2539. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com. It is the March Mega Sale. What does that mean? Well, it's up to 40% off for a limited time only on some of your favorite supplements. So you gotta head on over right now and see how incredible the discounts are on our supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Burn, Life Force, Sea Moss, MK Ultra, Methylene Blue, the capsules obviously and the liquid drops are all on sale right now. And NAD Plus. I love myself some NAD Plus. I do that all the time. And I highly recommend you do the same thing. Head on over now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab these things while supplies last. They don't last forever. And the sale will be just going on for a couple more days over at thealexjonesstore.com, so make sure you do that. Also, make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com as well. If you haven't done so, that's the way to stay in touch with us. With whatever our next operations are, alexjonesapp.com, download the app today. Or again, taking your calls in a second, 877-789-2539. That's the number to call right now.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We're going to take your calls in just a second. A lot going on over there. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. If I could say it any faster, I would. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the show right now. I want to get to this story. Lindsay Holligan, a former attorney for President Trump, but also you guys might remember she was the acting U.S. attorney over in the East District of Virginia. Well, according to reports, she's currently under investigation by the Florida Bar for potentially having some type of ethical violations during her time in these positions. The probe is likely about a claim that was made by the Campaign for Accountability, which alleged misconduct in her prosecutions of former FBI Director James Comey, as well as Letitia James. As many of you guys know, she did file those charges. She was pushing that position last minute. And then was shuffled over to the side. Why? Well, because they didn't want to confirm her. They didn't want those charges to stick. A rogue judge decided that those charges weren't going to stick and tossed it all out. And then they tossed her to the side, too. Why? Well, because the whole political system is corrupt. And that's like the short little bit about all of this. So right now, it looks like she possibly is under investigation. The Florida Bar confirmed an ongoing investigation in a February letter, stating that they were monitoring these developments closely and looking to see if there was any potential results in disbarment. That's what happens when you work in the Trump administration. They find something, they hope for the best, they try to get you stripped of your bar license so that no attorneys step up to the plate to fight these cases.
That's what they do. That's what they do. So no surprise there. You know, President Trump yesterday, he caught my attention because he put up a post on Truth Social. I thought it was quite strange. In one of the posts, he was talking about the Save America Act, and it included no transgender mutilation surgery for children without the express written approval of a parent. That was quickly taken down. And then the after effect of all of that was just no transgender mutilation surgery for just children. Mutilation, that's how you say it. So yeah, I would say this is quite interesting. Quite interesting. I don't know what to make of it. I think, you know, a lot of us have been sitting back and watching the president, and we've seen a lot of things that are going on that are very questionable. It doesn't seem like his character. This might just be a staffer who drafted that up. But it's worth an explanation. Does he actually think that there should be child mutilation surgery done if there's a parent that consents? Because there's a lot of crazy left-wing parents out there who will brainwash their children into thinking that this is the way to act, that this is what to do, this is the right thing to do, taking up that cause. Now, I obviously strongly disagree with that. I believe children should not be forced into any of this. If you're an adult doing it, yeah, well, that's up to you. I have my personal beliefs, but my personal beliefs don't really infringe on your right to decide if you want to chop off your you know what. I don't recommend it. But it's also not my place to discuss that for you. But leave the kids alone. I'm so tired of the targeted efforts to go after these children. Obviously, a lot of these people who are leading those efforts, I believe, are pedophiles. And so there's a reason why they want to put them on puberty blockers, obviously. You'd hate for them to reach puberty and to make their own decisions. But this is what's going on in this country right now. We've got a bunch of people who are trying their very best to destroy children. That's why they're pushing the rainbow community propaganda onto them. And it's really rough. I don't know how parents do it nowadays, honestly. Especially when you're trying to keep a roof over your head, keep food on your plates, and you're over here trying to compete with the propaganda machine. So no, I would just say no child should ever have to deal with this. And I wouldn't even say, like, to me, a child is under the age of 21, because your brain really isn't fully developed, even for women after, what, 25 is when you really, all right, she's an adult. She can make her own decisions. I'm sure there's some people out there who would argue different, though. Quite debatable. But again, we need to stop this war on children. It's absolutely disgusting that they think this is acceptable. When I see these videos of what they've done to these kids and how they're pushing them to take these puberty blockers, my heart just breaks for them. The damage is irreversible, and it's absolutely disgraceful that we allow these medical experts to carry out with this. It's an absolute disgrace. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss in just a little bit. A lot happening over here. So buckle up, more to discuss with you if you're calling in.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the show. The American Journal, third hour of the program kicking off. Mel Kay will join us later in the hour. But we're taking your calls right now, 877-789-2539. We've got about 20 minutes worth of calls we're going to try to dive into and go down the list. So let's get to the very first one. Let's go to Nate in Connecticut. Nate, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to point out a couple of things, the hypocrisy between all of it. You have Kristi Noem spending $100 million or however much money it ended up being, and massive outrage about it on from the Democrats, Republicans. Where's the outrage with USAID, the billions that were exposed, that taxpayers' dollars that are being wasted with that? Where's the outrage with Minnesota with the billions of dollars? Because $120 million is still a lot of money, but it's, in the grand scheme of things, nothing compared to what was being wasted with both of those things. And that's just two examples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're 1,000% correct. And that's the really frustrating part with all of this. By the way, too, I think it's just off the top of my head, the Quiet Skies program that was used to illegally surveil Americans was costing us taxpayers over $100 million a year to cover. They never caught a single terrorist. It was going on for over a decade. And so we've wasted more money on that. And those on the left never had a problem with it, though, of course, Nate. But they want to sound off on this. And rightfully so. But let's be fair and balanced. Let's call it all out. So, Nate, I'm on board for that.
Yeah, I agree. And then I'll be quick. I just have one thing about the Epstein files.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say that, at least in my opinion, that nothing's going to end up happening with it. If they were going to do something about it, they would have done something about it. They were able to round up, arrest, imprison thousands of people from January 6th, but they can't seem to get the litany of evidence that's been brought to the public already. They're not able to prosecute anybody. You have Hillary and Bill up on state during their deposition, just fumbling through it. And that's the full extent of their punishment. That one interview is all that they're going to end up getting in terms of consequences.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah. No, Nate, I don't think you're.
It's disappointing.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're wrong on any of that, Nate. And, you know, I don't even think they really asked any good questions, to be blunt. There was a couple. You know, there was a couple of decent questions, I'd say, but the core of the issue, I don't think we even scratched the surface on that. So, and there was even James Comer trying to be friendly with them, too. I don't want to be friendly with the Clintons. But I guess you don't want to also be too mean because you don't want to be suicided. So I understand that. Nate, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your take on just that, of course. So thank you for calling to the show. Let's go to Helen in South Carolina. Helen, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. Since you were talking about Corbyn and stuff, the other day you were giving credit, a little bit of credit to Lindsey Graham. Let me warn you about Lindsey Graham. I'm calling from the state. It was something of a hearing. It was earlier in the week.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Never give him credit because when he's close to a re-election, that's the way he always goes.
Yeah.
And then he reverts back to his scumbag ways. But I talked to my local state senator, Mike Burns, this week. And once again, the state of South Carolina is going to try and pass and change the primary rules to where Democrats can't cross over and to where he gets reelected. Because that's what keeps happening here in the state of South Carolina. And that's why we still, unfortunately, have him.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make you aware of that. But I need to call him back and see how it's going since he was going to introduce it on the floor earlier this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd look into that. Well, because we do that in Texas, too, and I didn't know that until I got here a year ago, and I think it's absolutely awful that we do that. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the exact
Lindsey Graham... Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. No, there was, and I remember telling you before on air, I can't remember what the clip was. I was like, oh, it's a bad day when you agree with Lindsey Graham. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just don't remember what exactly the subject was. But I know it hurt me, Helen, to say that. It hurt me because, yeah, I don't want to be on the same side of Lindsey Graham on an issue. The guy's talking about bombing Lebanon now, of course, because, you know, they're...
Yeah, he doesn't deserve it. He's just a neocon scumbag.
Yeah.
And I really hope the state of South Carolina get rid of him. And then concerning Mr. William Timmons, our congressman down here in South Carolina in Greenville County, I called him three times last year.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day, no callback. And I've told his staff, I said, he's obviously not beholden to his constituents. He's obviously beholden to his donors. And he's another scumbag that South Carolina needs to get rid of. That's William Timmons.
Yeah.
Just like Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott. I don't really care for it. The only one I really like is Ralph Northam. That's about it.
You know, it's so funny, though. Like in Texas just purged out actually a lot of bad politicians. You know, we just got rid of Jasmine Crockett. You're welcome, America. We did that for you. We redrew our district map.
Oh, yeah, Jasmine Crockett and one-eyed Dan Crenshaw.
I know.
That rhino.
And now Tony Gonzalez, too, who I always thought was a rhino,
He's also being tossed. So we're doing our best to give back to America by purging those who have not done much for this country and are actively, in my opinion, trying to destroy it. But you guys in South Carolina, don't send your best. And I'm not going to bash you for this because you at least acknowledge it. Like, I'm not even a Nancy Mace fan either. I think that she does a lot of things
no,
for herself.
She's too much drama. I mean, I like her and I don't. She's too much drama.
I know. That's the problem.
I don't know.
This is why people don't want women in politicians, or in politics,
no,
I should
women,
say.
I'm a woman,
yeah.
And I'm sorry. A woman ain't got no business in a position like that, and I feel the same way about firefighting. I feel that's how I feel, okay?
Yeah.
I'm more of a biblical girl, and that's just the way I am.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
women ain't got no business being up there. I'm sorry. That's just me.
No, you're not alone. I back that as well, but thank you for calling in. It's an enjoyable conversation. And I'm sorry, I probably gave you trauma when I agreed with Lindsey Graham. I know I didn't feel good when I did that, but I had to do it. And I don't remember why. I probably blocked that one out for a reason. Thank you for calling, Helen. I appreciate your time. Let's turn to another guest. It looks like we had, I think he just disappeared from the call line, so I'll move on. Let's get to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I agree with the last caller. De-scumming South Carolina. It's an effort to de-scum. And speaking of Star Wars, I mean, we're going to SeaWorld. That's my wife blow-drying her hair. She looks glam for the pictures. But I could connect that to Kristi Noem and sexism. But first on Kristi Noem, definitely hold her accountable. But the big difference between her and Ilhan Omar and Feeding Our Future and the fake wineries and the Leering Center, she produced a product. And also then she paid for the advertising, which is extremely, you know, outrageously expensive on network TV. That doesn't mean that there's not grift or corruption, but that's a huge difference where the leftists feeding our family, our children, and the winery, those fake, autists. So they're actually fake businesses straight up, which is even more corrupt than the mafia. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just want to make that difference. But speaking of sexism, first with Star Wars, Kathleen Kennedy, who became in charge and did The Last Jedi, she mocked men like it's like a typical schoolyard bully psychology. If you feel as a female or as a person in general that you're equal, you don't bully other people. That's what the man told me because I was complaining about the other guy mocking people. And he said it happens to be a black gay man that told me this. I don't know if it's relevant, but he said, you feel confident in yourself, so you don't feel the need to mock others. So when you watch The Last Jedi and others like that, they don't just put women like you, like that are smart and powerful. They mock the men. You know, they scale down and they make the men subservient and more, you know, emotionally unstable and dangerous and dumber. So that shows that she doesn't have confidence. And I came up with a term for Kristi Noem. It's a self-imposed sexism. I was shocked when I saw a commercial. It was something of her promoting like trade jobs or something in her state. And she was posing in these different outfits, like a plumber, an electrician. And it wasn't even a satire. Like it was lighthearted, but it was still serious. And I was just like, this is sexism. You don't judge women on their appearance. And you're supposed to fight against that. And she's wearing all these outfits with all the heavy makeup and the flattering lighting, not like lighting Megyn Kelly used when she interviewed Alex Jones. But I was just like, you're supposed to not be judged on your, especially when you're a governor. It's not like a fashion model or, you know, so in her in front of the Mount Rushmore, that alone, she should be fired and she shouldn't have any other position in the Trump administration. But that's my last thought on Kristi Noem. Now we're heading to SeaWorld.
Well, have fun at SeaWorld, Andrew. I'm sure it's going to be great. And, you know, this is why I don't run for office. I actually want nothing to do with politics because I'm all about my lighting. In fact, I demand nothing but the best. I'm a little bit of a diva around the office, and everyone knows that. So I require the most perfect lighting. And so I could have a little empathy with Kristi Noem in that sense. But that's why I don't run for office. I don't want to be a politician. I just want to, you know, stand here and look pretty. Andrew, thank you for calling in as always. Enjoy SeaWorld, my friend. Let's get to another caller, Duke in Oklahoma City. Welcome to the show.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I just watched an interview with Kevin Stitt. I just want to
talk about how things are so scripted, and you can tell because soon as Mark Mullins got in office, Kevin Stitt came out and said that he would be a perfect fit for the job because he's from Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is a model state for immigration control. And that's not true at all because over three quarters of the businesses have been bought up by foreigners who do not hire native Oklahomans. So, I mean, we have a major issue here, and this is all being scripted. And we're not getting anywhere on the care, all that. The media is controlling all this. Mm-hmm. Okay, they control the narrative. People watch TV. They believe there's truth involved in the media narrative, and it's all scripted. Everything is scripted. I mean, I don't know how we get control of the narrative when people are so brainwashed to believe that the government still is trying to help them when we know that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you get around it. I mean, there's a lot of people I try to talk some sense into them, Duke, and unfortunately it doesn't really work out. A lot of people, it's safer to believe that your government's working for you rather than digging into the truth and finding out that that's actually not the case. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think people just want to live happy, quiet lives and don't want to have to deal with the stress that, you know, I constantly have to deal with. I mean, I'm constantly just so infuriated, so angry when I see all the corruption, when I see what they're doing against the will of the American people. And so I think people would just rather look the other way on that and not believe it's being carried through. Duke, thank you for calling in. Yeah, we're going to see how the Mullen stuff goes. I know the 31st is going to be the start date, I believe, for him. And we'll look to see if he makes it through his confirmation hearing and what comes of that. But it's going to be interesting to sit back and watch. So that's that. Let's get to another caller. Savage Dog's on the line from Georgia. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Hey, how are you doing, Brianna?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Had to go to the emergency room and got my first ever dose of morphine. That was not fun. I don't see how people get addicted to that crap.
You okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good.
It was just a thing that the VA was going to take forever to do, and they said, well, it'd be, and I got a two-hour drive to get to my local VA hospital, so I said, let's do it locally and just put you in the emergency room. But anyway, my call, I just looked on Grok, and I should have done this before calling her, or else I wouldn't have called. I thought that Texas had the right to divide into five different states if they wanted to. And according to Grok, they can, but it would still require a federal congressional approval to do so. And I thought that would just be fun to, for Texas to say, you know what, let's just turn into five different Texas states and add 10 or eight more senators.
I would love it.
That would cook the Democrats up really well.
Well, you give them their D.C. They've been fighting for D.C., for statehood for D.C. Maybe we'll agree. We'll give you that.
Yeah, you can have your two little hoo-has in D.C., and you can have your two little hoo-has in Puerto Rico. But now we're going to have Cuba. We'll have our two there. And we'll have Greenland. That'll give us two. And I don't know what's next. Who's next? Who else wants to be America?
Don't you dare say Canada, because I'm staying far away. People make the argument make me cringe. I don't want Canadians to become Americans. We need stronger border security. I'd say maybe stronger border security on the Canadian-U.S. border than the southern one at this point, just because I don't want them crossing in, Savage Dog.
Hey, that being said, Alberta's trying to break away from Canada, and we'll take Albertans. They're conservative. They'd love to be America.
I don't know, Savage Dog. My big beef with Canada would be that they've been lying to us for years now about Canadian bacon. It's not bacon, it's ham. And the fact that they haven't let up on that to me I can't sit there and listen to these Canadians anymore. I don't respect them for it. Leave us alone. Yeah. Give us real bacon.
Yeah, but that was still a really good movie with John Candy, Rhea Perlman, and et cetera, Alan Alda. It was so funny.
I know.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. We have ways to make you pronounce about.
Savage Dog, thank you for calling into the show. It's always an honor to talk to you, and I hope you're feeling better.
Have a happy Friday, a happy weekend. It was just a Friday phone call.
Yes.
Yes, you too, my friend. You too, my friend. Thank you for calling in. Let's get to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, I hear it's actually the perfect pivot, too. I hear you want to talk about veteran health care. So welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Yeah, calling in regards to Mark Lucas and specifically yesterday. Oh, and by the way, I'd like to get this out of it out there that I agree with you and I echo your sentiments from your opening of yesterday's show. Mm-hmm. I think it's justified. We're where you said we're at. So, I appreciate you making it loud and clear.
Thank you.
To the topic, are you familiar with HBOT or hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
No. Mm-mm. I think I've heard Mark Lucas though talk about it, if I'm not mistaken, though.
Yeah, maybe he has, and I missed it. But in case he hasn't, there's a bill in Congress, H.R. 1336. It's called the Veterans National Traumatic Brain Injury Treatment Act. Mm. Rep. Gregory Murphy, North Carolina. And the overall benefits, and Mark's call yesterday it hit me. Mm-hmm. Just to hear, you know, again, to be reminded, you know, on an average, the numbers out there of 17 veterans a day committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And mainly this one is, you know, for PTSD and traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. And just basically getting the VA, the department, VA to actually offer this as treatments, because the studies out there are phenomenal. There's several studies, most of them all indicate within a 4-week period that it is a dramatic turnaround mm-hmm. with just PTSD. It's sitting there, but it's obvious that, you know, the information out there, the studies, and it's proven. I was introduced to it by a it's basically a doctor of osteopathic medicine out of Okoboji, Iowa. His name is Dr. Meyer, and he actually had gone through quite a bit himself, and he has his own outfit that offers HBOT or HBOT. And just to name a few, there's head injuries, there's recent past concussions, traumatic brain injuries, migraine headaches, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, Huntington's disease. It goes on and on and on. And I think that, you know, to hear, again, what Mark had said, and specifically the story about the two recent or somewhat recent that, you know, killed himself at the, you know, San Antonio hospital or committed suicide, you know, these things are, this is important. And these types of treatments need to get out there, and they need to be offered to our veterans. Number one, our veterans. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this gets passed. Because like I said, I mean, and it goes in, what it does is it goes in and it actually, you know, it pressurizes your body. It forces oxygen into the bloodstream. And then what that does is it actually fills holes that have been caused by certain things, but it reprograms your brain as well. Mm-hmm. So again, this is something we need for our veterans, you know, mm-hmm. that have been affected for PTSD and traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah. Well, Chad, thanks for sharing that. No, it's on my radar too. And that's really important. I've got a friend, who works with veterans and tries to help them with retreats and tries to help them out when they're dealing with PTSD and depression. And I'm pretty sure he also does this as well. He does a lot of really cool things for vets. Sean Rosario, he does a great job. So this is definitely something on my radar. And I'm sure Mark also has it on his radar. I will reach out to him to make sure though, and to see if he wants to come on and talk about it too as well, because it's an important discussion to be had. Chad, thank you for joining the show. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Let's get to Lester in West Virginia. Lester, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, that comment you made earlier, you get, you just stand around and look pretty. You should be getting paid megabucks for that because you do it the best.
Lester, you are my guy. I knew when I was going to answer this call that you were going to be my favorite one of the day, so thank you.
Well, I'm glad you did because, man, I don't support troops on the ground over there in Iran. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Strikes are okay. I'm saying let's drop them some ammunition, some guns, some weapons, and just skin out, you know, after a couple weeks. That's all we need to do. We got two big things here in this hemisphere to focus on, and that's Mexico and Cuba. They're putting weapons of mass destruction in this country with fentanyl. So we need to change those narco governments over. That will directly affect us, not Iran.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's a lot of people who feel, you know, and I'm like, I teeter back and forth all of this because obviously, you know, I know Lester, you call in often, but you know how I feel about obviously Islamic terrorism. I do deem it as a threat, but I'm still waiting to see why now, and boots on the ground, I would never support that either. It sounds like this administration says that they don't support those efforts, but again, then we're hearing reports that I know it's CIA, so it's separate from our military, but then you got the reports that came out from CNN that the CIA is handing off guns to those on the ground in the region as well. I know the Kurds too. So it's just such a mess. And anytime we're in the Middle East, I think we try to play hero too much in the Middle East. And I just don't see it ever working out in our favor at all. And, you know, I'm still waiting to see what more might come out. Again, this is the problem because we don't have all the information and they're asking us to trust our elected officials, to trust the Secretary of War, who I think obviously understands war better than anyone. And I do think he is still the best pick to run the Pentagon, but it's a lot of trust that the American people don't have. I really don't have it. I lost trust in our government, and so that's where I stand on all these issues. And not that I think that they might be lying to us. I just never know where the intel's coming from, people intentionally trying to sabotage them. So there's always that to also keep in mind. Lester, thank you for calling in. Thank you for everyone who called in right now. Sadly, we are up against a hard out here because we're expecting to have Mel Kay on the program in just a moment. But thank you for those who did call into the show. By the way, the president will be meeting with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, today in a closed-door meeting in the Oval Office at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, so we'll keep our eye on that. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March Mega Sale going on right now. It is up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com, so make sure you check it out before we run out over at thealexjonesstore.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Adds a lot of everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
just in the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But
one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now.
Day off from the campaign trail, doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 04. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, I've just been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is the American Journal with Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. Final lap of the third hour of the program, and a lot happening here. You know, I kind of want to focus in a little bit on the main issue here in Texas. A lot of people, and it's so crazy to me because, again, I mean, we've played the interview. We had Tommy Robinson here, and he's taking a tour of Texas right now. But, you know, he's going around, he's meeting the people, and he said, you know, the difference between the UK and Texas is that you guys are willing to confront your issues. You're actually willing to say it out loud that you don't want a bunch of Islamists moving into your communities and then transforming your communities through Sharia law or Sharia. I keep doing that. It's Sharia, folks. They brainwashed me. But it's a big issue here, and I think it's so amazing that we do have lawmakers now speaking about the issue. Again, they're very, very late to the game, and I'm not going to let up on that. But, I mean, we've got 46 members of Congress now speaking out about the issue, and they seem to be fearless, constantly combing over and trying to gain other supporters and bring them in on their efforts. There's one individual, and I mentioned it with Dinesh D'Souza. It's actually his son-in-law. It's Congressman Brandon Gill, and he's done an incredible, incredible job here in the state of Texas fighting back. And he's fearless. He's fearless on this issue. I want to listen in on clip 10 and his opinion on just preventing the Islamification of Texas. Take a listen.
I would rather preserve the America that we know and love so that my daughter and my son can grow up in that country as opposed to growing up in a world where they go to the mall in Dallas, Texas, and you see 90% of the people wearing burqas and speaking foreign languages.
All right. So that's the soundbite there. And, you know, it's so crazy to me that it has to be said. That's common sense, folks. Common sense. Common sense. Common sense. I want to get to clip 9 real quick before we bring Mel in. Let's play that clip.
Start with a visual aid. This is the Homeland Security Advisory Council Countering Violent Extremism Subcommittee Interim Report for 2016. My colleague referred to it earlier as suggesting that we should refrain from using words like Ummah or Jihad or Sharia. I would like to also show you another visual aid, and this is what is called the Words Matter Memo that was published in January of 2008.
All right, let's jump out of this because this isn't the soundbite we were calling for. Let's go to Mel Kay right now because Mel Kay is here today. She's the host of the Mel Kay Show and author of the book Americans Anonymous. It's a great book. You got to go grab it right now over on Amazon. And again, if you don't follow her on Rumble, I don't know why you don't. She does a great job every single day on her show, the Mel Kay Show. And she does some really cool Q&As as well. Mel, welcome to the show. You know, we were just playing a clip before you jumped on with us of Congressman Brandon Gill. And Congressman Brandon Gill is sounding off because he doesn't like to watch Texas get transformed into this Islamic state right now. He's watching it, and he's in the DFW area, so he sees it firsthand, and he's watching as individuals who don't want to assimilate to the American way of life are jumping on board and trying to transform the state. Your reaction to how brave it is to see a member of Congress speaking out on this issue? Because, you know, we had Tommy Robinson here. He said that's the difference between Texas and you know, the rest of the world. They were too afraid to come out and speak out on these issues. What do you think of this?
Right. Well, first of all, as you know, this has been going on a very long time. And that clip you were going to play, though it was the wrong one, Phil Haney is one of the people that sounded the alarm. There were many heroes that tried, particularly during Obama's years. Haney was the person from DHS who was basically the whistleblower who told the country that Barack Obama and his administration had them erase all of the counterintelligence work they had been doing since 9/11, basically because of Islamophobia. They had changed everything. Hillary Clinton went to the UN, and then they came back, and next thing you know, they're erasing so much about anything Muslim Brotherhood, anything Islamic under the guise of that it was Islamophobia and it was passing this thing. So essentially, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton rolled out the red carpet. And we know what happened after that. Of course, Hillary Clinton's intern, who later became her aide and then was married, obviously, to Anthony Weiner, Uma Abedin, she comes from a family that worked for the Muslim Brotherhood. And then she comes in with Hillary Clinton. We have Obama come in and hold her. But of course, Valerie Jarrett is also, she's from Iran, but she rolled out the red carpet too. So as soon as Obama came in, essentially anything that brought up Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, or, you know, anything of that nature was basically off limits. So all of the counterintelligence that was done before that basically went into the memory hole. At the same time, we have to remember that Barack Obama was very involved in having the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE to the White House under the guise of religious freedom and much of this stuff. By the time Donald Trump came in, it was embedded all over the country, and a very brave man on his first term, Rich Higgins, wrote a very famous memo that is now out there and was made into a book. Unfortunately, Rich Higgins isn't here anymore. He has passed away. But what he was saying was that there was an alliance, which we're watching now, the Red-Green Alliance, working from within America to take us down. We also, you know, talk about the Holy Land Foundation. Well, CARE and a bunch of the other groups that have been allowed to flourish since the early 2000s essentially had free reign. Now, another thing that we should also all know about is that for some reason, our country is allowing Sharia banking. This is another way of having Sharia come into America without it being very overt, kind of a covert way to do that. But again, this started really picking up steam under Obama. And we know what Obama did when he went to Cairo and apologized for everything that we ever did to, even after 9/11, everything we ever did to the Islamic world. And then Barack Obama was part of a regime change operation over there in Egypt that blew up in his face and ended up getting the Muslim Brotherhood banned. But that was Barack Obama. So what we really have to look at is all the tentacles that have been allowed to flourish: Sharia banking, Sharia courts, Sharia-only communities, and it's all tied together with the money, because the Sharia banking situation is basically in our own institutions. I believe Citibank has one. I'm pretty sure Goldman Sachs. I think a lot of these big banking institutions have the Sharia separate banking, because Sharia, I guess, bans a lot of what they consider sinful investments, but they also have a Sharia compliance like group that has to go through all the investments and decide what is halal, what is not, what is, you know, able to be invested in. But at the same time, they don't believe in interest or the same banking as us. So there's a Sharia compliant group at all of these banks that decide. But 2 to 3% of every investment, which is now estimated to be about $7 trillion in Sharia banking, goes to Muslim groups, including CARE and the Muslim Student Association and all these groups. So our banking system is allowing this to flourish financially. Our real estate system, or our real estate, I guess adjusters, are allowing this unconstitutional Sharia-only, Muslim-only communities to be built all all over the country. And at the same time, everyone's denying that Islam is a political movement, not a, should not be protected under the, you know, freedom of religion. That's not what we're dealing with here. So there's a lot of confusion, but it was really put in place when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton came into the State Department and the presidency. And from then on, essentially, you turn the other way. If anything was said or done or there were questions, you were not allowed to talk about Islam, Sharia, Muslim Brotherhood until Trump came in. And of course, we know what happened then.
Well, and Mel, I was going to ask too, because I was going through the website. Is this banking system that they have set up, is it FDIC insured? Wouldn't that be a way for them to go after it?
It's very unclear if it is FDIC insured, but it is not compatible with U.S. banking at all. Mm-hmm. And the idea that there's a Sharia compliance group made up of Sharia scholars in the Sharia banking institutions in America should signal an alarm. And we're not talking about a little bit of money. We're talking about trillions of dollars that are going through the Sharia banking system. So, I mean, and they're allowing it because all the big banks on Wall Street essentially have a Sharia division. And Sharia lines up pretty well. People wonder about the globalists and the red-green axis and all of that. But Sharia compliance lines up very well with ESG scores as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so we do have to start holding Wall Street accountable. I mean, just like I told you last week, the amount of criminality that JP Morgan has gotten away with by paying fines over the decades, not to mention just, you know, Epstein and Madoff and the 2008 crash and this and that. This is also something being facilitated by Wall Street and by the banking system and the very corrupt banking system for decades now. You know, we have the whole situation with Larry Summers, who was obviously Treasury under Clinton, and then the economic advisor under Obama. And then you go through it and you see Geithner and all these different people. They're facilitating a lot of the crime in America because the easiest way to fight back against this infiltration is to end the money. And we're not even seeing that happen with the People's Forum right now that are funding all the things on the street in tandem with Singham and his wife, Code Pink. We're not seeing anything going into all of the money that has gone into terrorist organizations that are marching in the streets here by the Open Society. And of course, Uma Abedin is now married to George Soros's son. So that's a problem. It's just, we're turning a blind eye where we could actually make a difference. And where we can actually make a difference is in the money flow, the checking where the money is going, obviously. And, you know, I don't know if you know yesterday, you know, DeSantis and Abbott have called CARE and Muslim Brotherhood terrorist organizations in their states, which they have the ability to do. Well, an Obama judge is blocking it in Florida, we found out today. I'm sure that's going to happen in Texas as well. So again, if we're not going to deal with CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood as we should, then this is just going to continue unabated. $7 trillion is a lot of money, and it's being spread around the world. But the institutions in America that are participating in Sharia banking are 100% complicit in this happening.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about this issue, and it's also Amy Mack, who's done extensive coverage over at the Rare Foundation as well. And it's so crazy to me. Yeah, she's great, you're great, but this is like one of the main issues that needs to be looked into. And you know, you're mentioning the ruling that came in Florida, another Obama appointed judge, of course, no surprise there. But you know, I'd love to see this make its way over to the Supreme Court, because once that happens, I think so many more, well, other states will be more willing to jump on board with declaring CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood as terrorism groups. And I think that's really should be a top priority. So that'd be interesting to see play out. I want to pivot a little bit, though, because I thought this was really interesting. We were told weeks ago that the DOJ released everything to the American people regarding the Epstein files. But it looks like earlier this week, they actually said, oh, we've got about 47,000, a little more than 47,000 more documents to dump out into the web. But that's because a lot of people called them out and said, wait a minute, we didn't get everything. There's new accusations, of course, that had no actual factual base to it against President Trump as well, that were put out into the web regarding claims that there was a child who says that they were assaulted by President Trump. Again, it's just they keep throwing his name out there so that he's wrapped up into the Epstein files. But when the DOJ talks about all the files being released and then they find a stack of 47,000 plus more, it's really hard for the American people to sit there and think, all right, this is a credible institution at this point that has been changed and reformed by Pam Bondi. I mean, how much longer are we going to keep putting up with this?
I don't know. I was really disappointed yesterday. First, I heard the auto pen was that they weren't going to pursue that, which is a gigantic thing to pursue because of the pardons and the January 6th committee. I'm not sure what's going on there, but people are very, very upset about the lack of taking seriously a lot of what is happening and what the American people voted for, which is accountability across the board. As for the Epstein case, believe me, there's far more out there, including many, you know, I live down here in Palm Beach. I know that there are storage lockers all over where he had things moved to long ago that must be known about. We also know that the FBI stepped in and stopped the investigation now, we know, into Zorro Ranch, which is completely unacceptable and ridiculous. And even worse than that, a lot of these people that were involved are still in the DOJ and FBI. And don't forget, this has gone on for decades now, and there's plenty of evidence all the way back to the 80s and 90s of Jeffrey Epstein. And it seems like what we are getting is dribs and drabs. Now, as far as President Trump, there are only 47 documents in all of this that even mention him. And the accusation that was put in against him after he was president, after the whole Me Too, Women's March, all of that, is completely not credible. But they will use it like Ted Lieu and all these other people, and they use it and they have some kind of immunity. They can say whatever they want. But Donald Trump, I believe, really does want everything out there. But we have to remember the highest level here, again, I say this, as I said it before, is the banking system. It is unacceptable that J.P. Morgan Chase was involved with him for 30 years. We know that somebody was going to come in and testify that J.P. Morgan went back in after he was arrested and corrected what was, I guess, 49 suspicious activity reports, and they readjusted it to about 4,500 over 20 years. There's 17 people that were involved with him, including, of course, Kathy Brumler, who apparently is going to be called in, but that was Obama's right hand. We also have Obama's right hand in the Economic Council, Larry Summers, involved. We also have a lot of this coming out. So how they've gone about this has been, I think, a disaster, but at the same time, the more we know, the better. But again, we also find out, as you and I have covered for years, a lot of stuff was untrackable and untraceable to anyone. And if you didn't know how they spelled names, or you remember they spelled Comey Corny, and they spelled, and a lot of them had different different names that they were using. So what is going on here is a cover-up, but it's not by the Trump administration. This is in the Southern District of New York, in the FBI of New York field office. And as you know, Comey was at the at Southern District of New York. He leaves and goes to D.C. His daughter comes in. She handles all these cases, the Maxwell case, the Diddy case, all of this. And basically the judge there is blocking stuff. So the Southern District of New York and the New York field office for the FBI are where all eyes should be, including and especially for the Wiener laptop. So whatever's going on, we know that there's things being held back, and I'm glad we got the Epstein files, but I really think that the most important thing we should find out is where's the Wiener laptop, and then look at them together. And again, both Clintons lied to Comer and his group. So will they be held accountable? Who knows? It doesn't seem like it to me, but we will see ahead.
Yeah, you could add that to the list, though, because we're still waiting for Seth Rich's laptop to be made public. The FBI was court ordered to do that. And again, they're just leaving it on ice right now. So there's that,
and why?
Too.
Why? Yeah. Who are they protecting? Hillary Clinton still? Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And, you know, they didn't like the conspiracy. That's how they always worded it. They didn't like the conspiracies, but they refused to be transparent. And the conspiracies wouldn't exist if transparency was there. And that's the issue with all of this. And you know, we're willing to listen. We're willing to look at all of this and see the evidence for ourselves. But again, the FBI is obviously holding it up for a reason. I mean, there has to be a motive behind it. Otherwise, there'd be no purpose to any of this. It's been dragged on for years now, and it's a battle that's still ongoing. And by the way, Mel, you mentioned Ted Lieu. I have a little confession. I didn't even know that Ted Lieu was a sitting member of Congress. I thought he was a troll account on Twitter, and I had no idea one day until, like, I saw him at a congressional hearing. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on a second. That's a real person? I had no idea.
Oh yeah, he was my representative in California, and don't forget, he of course is Adam Schiff's best pal. So you get what you get with Ted Lieu. But a lot of these people, you know, they really are distracting everyone. It's making people angry. And right now, the thing I'm worried about the most for the midterms is apathy and anger, getting so many people upset about no accountability that we have a low turnout. And the worst thing that could possibly happen is in the midterms, this get handed over. Because right now, the Democrat Socialist of America, which should be banned in America, it is a globally funded Marxist revolutionary group running as Democrats. But they are the big head of the Democratic Party now. And if the pendulum swings, we are going to get impeachments and arrests and everything within weeks of them taking the position. And we will see how slow and obviously unable to move forward the DOJ and FBI has been under the administration, and they will be completely hampered after that. So we got to get in gear for 2026. And remember, there is life after Trump. So if anyone's still voting to or because they love him or they hate him, then they're just depriving themselves of their own choices, because this has nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the direction of America and the future of this country and the world. And if anyone is voting because of Trump, they are out of their minds and really don't understand the stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was one thing too. We had a caller call in who wanted me to dispute people who say, oh, I'm not going to vote. I shouldn't vote. And that's not the case. You got to vote, especially
not
in local
this
elections.
Time.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. Yeah. A lot's on the line here. I want to get to this because it's kind of breaking news that happened just a few moments ago. I think it was a little over an hour ago. Chairman of the J6 subcommittee, Barry Loudermilk, came out and he has now issued a criminal referral to the DOJ for charges to be filed against former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. Now, obviously, the American people are well versed in the fact that we believe that she lied in front of Congress. Now, this criminal referral is co-signed by Jim Jordan as well. Do you have any reaction to this one? Because, of course, it's common sense that she was not being honest with the American people when she decided to testify, and she fed into the false narrative that the J6 committee was looking to spin under Democrat control. Your reaction to the news that she's been criminally referred to the DOJ?
Well, first of all, this is also in tandem with the auto pen investigation that pardoned the January 6th committee as well, because of course her interactions with Cheney should be scrutinized and lead to charges against Liz Cheney. But if they don't deal with the auto pen and the pardons and all of that, that won't happen. She is a disgrace. But as you know, the process seems to be, if you do something for the Democrats, you get a book deal. So people should also look into why she got a book deal, how she got a book deal, and who paid for that, who facilitated that, because you've seen this happen over and over with people that come out from the left, be it Miles Taylor or, you know, Trump, Mary Trump or any of these people. They write like hit piece books and get big payoffs, and they go in front of the cameras or testify under oath falsely. And that seems to me to be a payoff in the Democratic side. A book deal is a payoff. So there's a lot there with her. I believe she should go to jail. We have to start making an example. But under this circumstances, it is far bigger than just lying under oath. It is being complicit in a conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America with multiple investigations that cost us a lot of money, taxpayer money, and we're all fraudulent just to destroy the MAGA movement.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up the auto pen scandal too. I tried to do some digging. The DOJ, when I reach out to request more information on the NBC report that says that it's on the shelf right now, that they're not really doing any movement on that. The DOJ told me to just refer to a comment that was given by Judge Pirro, the U.S. attorney in D.C., and that comment just saying that she can't comment on ongoing investigations, which is honestly a deflection more so, but she is trying to be a little snarky there, I feel like. And when I was asking people internally over at the DOJ, what's the status and all of that, I was told, too, that the NBC report was accurate and it has been put on ice. But they also told me that there was three separate investigations going on in regards to AutoPen. And as from what they could tell, that all three have been stonewalled. But we also know that the weaponization group in the DOJ was one of the leaders behind the investigation. And we saw that was also ended. And I haven't seen really.
Yeah, but here's the question. But the question is it ended because that D.C. Circuit Court and the people that are training people to get on juries and ruin cases for that are against the Democrats? Is it that court? Because that court in D.C., the Boasberg Court, actually is controlled by Congress, and it could be shut down by Congress. Of course, that's not going to happen. But what I'm hearing is that they're not getting indictments and grand juries because they have these NGOs that are training people to not only get on juries, but to destroy the cases for them. And if this is about the court there, we got to deal with the court. They won't even impeach Boasberg. He's been involved in everything since the beginning of Russiagate. And all those judges there, the ones that were January 6th judges and other ones, they're still there. And if that is why we're not getting justice, somebody has to address that court in D.C. It's not even, it could totally be shut down, and it should be. They are only there for good behavior. There has been example after example of horrible and biased behavior in that court. And if Jeanine Pirro, that's the court she argues in front of, if she is not able to go forward with these investigations because of that court, and we see so much criminality, something has to be done. You can't wear a black robe and be above everyone else. That's not what the judicial system is about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not what it's about. And we'll see how it all plays out. Mel Kay, you do a great job hosting the Mel Kay Show over on Rumble. Give it a follow, and give her a follow on X as well, too. You're one of the very few who speak truth to power, and you got all the government documents to back it up. And so that's why I'm very proud to call you my friend. So thank you, Mel, for joining the show today. We appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. We'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see her next Friday. She also got the book Americans Anonymous, which gives you the power, you the people, the power to fix these corrupt issues happening on the local levels. You got to do it. You got to get that book right now. Right now. It's over on Amazon. All right, folks, it does it for me. Have a great weekend. The Alex Jones Show is next, though. In the meantime, head on over to the Alex Jones Store. I'm trying to say it fast. Mega March sale going on right now over at the AlexJonesStore.com.
InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.